I'm not an expert on music. That sounded like Oasis, though, to me.
It did to me, too.
New band that definitely wears their Oasis influences on their sleeve. But, of course, Oasis has been dead for many, many years, Kevin, so it couldn't possibly be them.
Right.
It's 8:13 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Less than 1 hour from right now, we're going to be looking for you, ladies, if you're 21 or over, single, and want to join us Friday night. It's the Kevin and Bean Booty Cruise 3 Cruise Harder. We're going to be out cruising the Long Beach Harbor, courtesy of Harbor Breeze's cruise on Friday night with a big after party at the Mai Tai Bar in Long Beach. It's going to be a tremendous night. And ladies, up next, that'll be 1 hour from right now, a little less than that from right now here on the world famous K-Rock.
You might not recognize the name of this place, the Inn at Perry Cabin in St. Michael's, Maryland. Mm-hmm. But you might recognize it if I told you that it was the one that they filmed Wedding Crashers at.
Oh, okay.
Wedding Crashers. I know the place you're talking about.
Well, apparently, Michael Jackson stopped by for a stay at that place.
Okay.
Michael Jackson. And there are some questions about some of the things that went on there, and we thought we'd go right to the source. Michael, good morning.
Damn out!
How are you today, Michael?
I'm very excellent. How are you, Kevin and B?
We're good. I don't know if you saw the article in the New York Post.
I don't read that trashy tabloid stuff. They lie. They're all liars.
They did say that you were the customer from hell.
Lie.
They said that they were getting calls at 4 a.m., From you yourself, not your people, but you.
Fib.
And you were asking for all kinds of kid food, children's menu items, chicken fingers and the like.
Why do they write all the lies about me?
Well, I mean, I just think you being who you are, not just being famous, but with your history, if all of a sudden you're dialing at 4 a.m. for a Happy Meal, I think people have questions.
Well, that's just craziness. I mean, I have to eat, and I was in my room, and I ordered some room service, so I don't understand what they're saying.
Don't you have people to call? I mean, isn't it odd that you have to call them yourself?
Well, I think people would think it's normal to make a phone call for yourself for food.
Okay.
If I had people doing it, then people would say, oh, Michael doesn't do anything for himself. So
right,
I can't win.
Oh.
No, I understand. That's a legitimate complaint. But you're 50, and you're only ordering off the children's menu, and there's nobody's saying that your kids were there with you. It almost seems like you're ordering that stuff up as bait.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Room service.
Hold on, guys. Room service is here.
Okay,
let me see. We got Pop Rocks, Lucky Charms, Lunchables, Uncrustables, Sunny D., Fruit roll-ups, Jell-O pudding pops.
Jeez.
Flintstone vitamins.
What kind of order is that?
And a case of Smirnoff source water with Kool-Aid. Okay, that's everything. Thank you.
Well, hey, Michael.
That last item answers a lot of questions.
That last item you mentioned was source.
Yeah, it's a new water. It's a new delicious water that makes you hydrated and gives you fluid.
It's actually it's water mixed with vodka. It's water and vodka put together.
What?
And you're mixing that with Kool-Aid, which again makes it sound like maybe it's something that you want to give to kids, maybe, even though it's got alcohol in it?
That's horrible. I wish I had known that before I ordered it.
What are you doing with fruit roll-ups, Michael? I mean, it does sound like you're just opening the door to the outside and leaving scraps, hoping children will find their way in.
I'm having a party for some friends. And I want to make sure that everyone gets what they want.
Okay, who are the friends?
You don't know them.
Okay, what are their ages?
That is hardly your business. But I take the fruit roll-ups, and if you wrap it around something, you can play a fun game.
Oh, my God.
That is a very poor visual.
It's called fruit on the bone.
Oh, no.
It just seems like maybe you should be thinking about the trouble that you've been through.
Yeah.
I am thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. It's the only thing I can think about.
Why not invite some grown-ups over and maybe some, you know, some wine and some cheese and crackers, maybe some buffalo wings, maybe some grown-up type food.
Boring.
Okay.
I'd much rather fill my pants with Flintstone vitamins.
Are they?
And play
and Pop Rocks.
Are there Dino? Fine Bam Bam.
Are there children in your room right now, Michael, not that aren't yours? Or even that are yours, actually.
In my room?
In any of the rooms that you're paying for?
Define room.
What are you talking about? Define room.
Would the balcony count as a room?
Yes.
Well, if there's kids there.
What, if you've got access
not
to
a room, you ask the room.
Oh, for God's sake.
Michael,
sakes.
You got to stop.
What if they're just dangling from the balcony? Would that count?
Are you not going to stop until you get thrown in jail?
I don't stop till the panties drop.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Or the diapers, depending on the
Hold on. I thought I heard Omar in there. Is that, do you have Omar with you? Because that's weird.
Is he spinning records for the party?
It's weird that he would be laughing like that
he
in the background.
He brought the Uncrustable.
He did.
I see.
Okay. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Highlights of Paramore. Woo! This show really is the best of Kevin and Bean.
You know it, dude.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. Your radio pal, Ralph Garman, however, I'm back from my vacation here in the studio with Psycho Mike for the remainder of the week, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. It is 5:51 in the a.m. Let's take a look at some of the showbiz stories, shall we? Britney Spears and Kevin Federline just dominating the entertainment news today. I guess the biggest story is that things have gotten a little darker for Britney and her career. Her manager, Jeff Quatnitz, has quit. This is the dude who runs the firm over there, right? He's the big man with the firm.
The name sounds company familiar.
Yeah.
She runs through managers pretty quickly,
well, her
she?
Lawyer just dumped her.
Jeez.
Laura Wasser, a little while ago, she quit on Britney, too. I guess it must be a pain in the ass to work with somebody this unbalanced, this hell-bent on self-destruction. You feel like, look, you can go down if you want, but you're not taking me with you. Here's a statement released by Jeff Quatnitz. It saddens us to confirm media reports that we have terminated our professional relationship with Britney Spears. We believe Britney is enormously talented and has made a terrific record, but current circumstances have prevented us from doing our job properly. The circumstances? She's effing nuts!
Yeah.
That's what they should have released.
She is a PR nightmare.
We'd like to work with her, but she's a nut loaf, and our hands are tied because she's white trash. And a flabby hoe.
That's what he wrote, and then he gave it to a lawyer, and they translated it.
They tarted it all up. Apparently, Jeff was miserable at the VMAs, as we all were, if you watched Britney's performance. But the thing is that Britney decided to switch costumes at the last minute. She was supposed to wear an outfit that was more covering, I guess, you know, covered up sort of her weak spots in her physique.
She had a fupa shield.
Yeah.
But
instead, she opted for the swamp bikini, whatever it is she was wearing there. And she didn't tell anyone, including her management. They had a request to meet with her following the VMAs, and she refused. So how can you help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, right?
That's right.
So Britney is managerless at the moment. Things are even worse for her in her personal life. Yesterday, there was a hearing in the continuing divorce battle regarding primary custody of the kids of Kevin Federline and Britney Spears. And Britney's former bodyguard, Tony Barreto, showed up at the courtroom ready to testify, according to Kevin's attorney, who is, by the way, Gloria Allred. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Apparently, she told the press outside the courtroom that the bodyguard was ready to testify that Britney had bad parenting skills, including nudity and drug use at home. Well, I can't say anything wrong with that for the kids, right?
Not at all. Especially the sons, yeah.
Y'all, hold my bowl while I get naked, will you, Hayden? Good times at the Britney household. And this is the best story yet. We might have to talk to K-Fed next week. Maybe he's got a song about this. But apparently, Entertainment Tonight is reporting that the FBI and the LAPD were both investigating legitimate leads which claimed there was a contract taken out on Kevin Federline.
Oh.
Who would want to kill Kevin Federline? Who's less threatening to anyone than Kevin Federline? LAPD has said they investigated the story, but nothing ever came of it. So apparently it wasn't the real deal. But
I hear he didn't choose that life, though. He was born
he was born to it. No, he was pushing Yayu up in Fresno, or wherever the hell he was.
Moving weight.
Yeah, that's right. Who better to ask about the Vanessa Hudgens nude photo controversy than Vanessa Williams? You may or may not remember that the star of Ugly Betty was once embroiled in her own nude photo fiasco.
That's right.
Back in 1984, when she was Miss America, she had to give up the crown because Penthouse published a expose of her own butt-naked pictures.
These were better, though, because she was all lesbian out and stuff.
This was back in the day when Penthouse was a lot more over the top than the Playboy. I mean, there was a big divide between Penthouse and Playboy.
Yeah. And Playboy, I think, felt sort of creepy about paying for the photos. But Penthouse was all about sensationalism. So they were selling, you know, whatever they could get their hands on. And there were photos of her taken years before she was in the Miss America competition of her and another young lady being all sort of friendly with each other. And when those photos came to light, the Miss America people said, give us that crown back. And everyone said, her career's over. But look what happened to her. So she's saying that Vanessa Hudgens has talent and professionalism, and these are the things that will help her overcome this controversy. Here's the thing about the controversy, though. She hasn't lost any endorsement deals. And Disney has vowed to stand by her through all of this. So she will be in another High School Musical, of course, if there is one. Please, God, make it so.
Make it so, please. Because Disney has taken that stance where they're going to stand behind her, this is probably the best thing that's ever happened in her career.
You're right, Psycho Mike. Celebrity insiders are saying that the slip-up could actually make her money in the long run because it has raised her profile so much.
Before these pictures surfaced, it was all Zac Efron. That's right. All anybody ever talked about when they said the words High School Musical.
Especially Bean. Now we're all talking about Vanessa Hudgens, and he's still talking about Zac Efron.
That's right.
And they're not like naughty, naughty photos. It's just her in her bedroom just being naked.
Yeah.
As God intended her. That's all.
They're very innocent.
Very innocent. If you can be innocent and have naked photos of an 18-year-old that you're leering at.
Look into a waxing, though.
Speaking of Penthouse, Tracy Morgan did an interview with Penthouse magazine. And you know, when Penthouse comes knocking looking for an interview, your career's really on the upswing.
Yeah.
When, you know, when Time and Newsweek, the phone's not ringing, but Penthouse calls you up.
It is. It's wedged between Newsweek and The New Yorker.
That's just filler for booby shots, basically. But he talks about his bitter memories about being on Saturday Night Live. He confirmed something that I always had suspected. I'm no Jimmy Fallon fan. I thought Jimmy Fallon was a hack pretty much over there on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Not a real funny guy. And always tended to laugh at his own stuff too much.
Yeah, he
busting out laughing as if what he was saying was so hilarious he couldn't keep a straight face.
He has Psycho Mike disease where he laughs at his own jokes all the time.
Tracy Morgan confirms my belief that he used to laugh out loud on purpose during other people's skits to steal the thunder and to get attention on him during the sketches.
That's bullshit.
Tracy Morgan said he never did it to him, though, because he gave him a stern warning about it before they started working together. So the only black dude in the cast comes up to you and says, if you laugh during my sketches, I will beat your ass. I guess you take it seriously.
Especially if you're Jimmy Fallon.
That's right.
Scrawny man.
Lindsay Lohan. This is a great rumor. I hope it's true. Lindsay Lohan. Well, first of all, she's a firecracker. But second of all, yes. She is doing so well in her rehab and has found God so much there at the Cirque Lodge in Utah that the latest rumor is in the British tabloid, she's decided to join Opus Dei. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Opus Dei, that's the Catholic organization of devout, to say the least, Christians. You probably remember them from The Da Vinci Code, the movie and the book, The Da Vinci Code. These are the people who beat themselves, flagellate themselves in order to make a sacrifice to Jesus. And apparently it stings. I remember we talked to one of those guys once. And,
he was not happy.
He was not happy with that little procedure. So.
We could talk to him this week, I think.
I hope Lindsay Lohan joins Opus Dei and just does nothing but smack herself in the back with a chain.
I can't think of anything I'd like more.
And oh, I wish how I wish Bean was here for once. A little Barry Manilow news.
Oh, great.
Apparently Barry takes his politics very seriously. And he has canceled his appearance on The View today because he disagrees so strongly with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who of course is the conservative member of the all-female panel. He told TMZ.com that he refuses to be on the same stage with her. He believes she's offensive and dangerous. Yes, she's a threat to all mankind, that Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Let's see, she's against gays and gay marriage. Why would Barry Manilow not want to be on the same
Very
show?
Straight man. I don't understand.
It's a picture of masculinity.
That's a pretty immature take on it, though, for him not to show up just because he doesn't agree with her.
Well, here's the thing. He's trying to sell a record. He's got a new album out of all 70 songs. What could be worse than Barry Manilow singing all 70 songs?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the guy's obviously trying to pimp his product, but for him to take some sort of stand in the face of that, I think is significant, you know?
Sure, but wouldn't it be better to engage her?
That's true. Slap her down?
Yeah. I mean, that's the...
Give her the old Rosie 1-2?
It's a manly man thing to do.
But she's dangerous. So you won't be on the stage with her. She's dangerous. A lot of people are talking about tomorrow. You know what it is tomorrow?
Second no, I don't.
Talk Like a Pirate Day, mother effer. Tomorrow is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. I've been getting a ton of emails, people asking me, what are we doing for Talk Like a Pirate Day? Well, it won't be a full-blown celebration, obviously, because Kevin and Bean are on vacation. However, the good people at Walt Disney have rented out the entire El Capitan Theater down in Hollywood.
Nice.
And they're having a big Talk Like a Pirate Day celebration tomorrow night.
That's awesome.
They're going to be showing a screening of Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, the third in the trilogy of Pirates of the Caribbean. There are going to be pirates there. They're going to be teaching how to talk like a pirate, and I will be hosting. So all day tomorrow, I will be giving away tickets to this very exclusive event.
You're going to be hosting.
I will be the host.
This can't get any better.
Arr, because you know I like me talk like a pirate day.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big, big fan. So, yeah, listen all day tomorrow during the Showbiz Beats. I will be giving away tickets to this very exclusive event. You can only win the tickets here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Very cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Blake. Good old Bobby Blake. Actor. Dude with a gun.
Creepy dude.
Creepy dude with a gun.
Regardless if he killed someone or not,
scary
he is
dude.
A scary, scary,
scary
man.
Did I ever tell you a story where I was in an acting class and Robert Blake sat in as teacher?
No.
Yes, he was the guest teacher in my acting class years ago. And made a girl cry. Called her the C word. Called this little slip of an actress, young little fresh as a daisy thing, just made her cry, called her the C word right in front of everyone. Made her cry. It's magic.
Oh, I love him.
It was the greatest day of my life. He's 74 years old today. Fred Willard, who has just been so great in so many things. This is Spinal Tap, and before that on Fernwood Tonight. A legendary improvisational actor and comic actor. He'll be seen in the upcoming Fox TV series with Kelsey Grammer and Patricia Heaton.
Oh,
back
okay,
to you.
Cool.
He's 68 years old today. Jada Pinkett Smith, actress, singer, and wife of Will Smith, 36 years old today. James Marsden played Cyclops in the X-Men movies. He is 34. Exhibit, rapper and host of Pimp My Ride, is 33. And James Gandolfini, who had reason to celebrate over the weekend as his former TV show, The Sopranos, picked up the Emmy for Best Drama.
He's a fag!
No, he is not. He's a manly man, that Gandolfini.
Sure is.
He is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Another band that's playing the K-Rock LA Invasion is Paramore, and they're in our studios right now.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thanks.
How are you?
So we've got Haley and Josh are here in the room, and I guess Jeremy and Zach are in the other room, and you guys are going to be performing live in just a few minutes. Now, I should mention before we, because I don't know where the interview is going to go, but I just want to tell you, Josh, that your mom called. She is streaming krock.com. She is listening live this morning, so
that
watch your potty mouth, okay?
All right, I will.
That was a funny phone call for Dave to pick up.
That's got to be weird.
My son's in the band.
I'm going to be listening.
Weird.
Yeah. You want to tell her to tune out, or you're all right?
Yeah, Mom, tune out.
Yeah. Whenever my mom comes to town, I tell her that we can't get the station at my house because I don't want her to listen. You know, it's just
very wise.
It makes it worse.
So for a lot of people, Paramore, they're like, who are they? They're new. I kind of heard something about them. How'd they get on the bill? But you guys are one of these bands that's like the multi-year overnight sensation, right? You guys have been working your ass off for some time to get to this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been around. I guess we really formed in like 04, 05. So
that's pretty quick compared to some bands. I mean, really, some bands it takes forever to get there. But you were telling us while we were playing the Foo Fighters song that you had done some shows in the past to make money. Like, but you said for political rallies.
Well, yeah. Myself and Jeremy, we were in Jeremy's our bass player. We were in this funk cover band. And
what kind of songs would you play at a political?
Well,
thing?
It wasn't like they were all drunk, so
okay, well, that's good.
We played like a lot of funk music. We played Chaka Khan and Rufus, Parliament Funkadelic. It was really
that's
good time.
That's maybe the weirdest start ever. We've talked to a lot of bands before, and they always say, "Oh, some bands do covers," which I know some of you guys did cover
Josh
bands.
And Zach.
But for political stuff, that's a little.
It was weird.
Different.
You're right.
Although it makes Jeremy a hell of a bass player. I mean, if you can get out there and do Parliament Funkadelic, then you can pretty much handle anything, right? I mean, that's great training as a musician, I would imagine.
Yeah. It was amazing.
So you guys got together 04, 05, and you've put out one or two CDs?
We've put out two records.
Two. Mm-hmm. The last one was All We Know Is Falling.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then the current one is Riot.
Riot.
So we have Riot, the song that we've been playing here from, Riot's CD. We have Misery Business that we've been playing here on K-Rock. Tell us about that song.
You want to get this? You want me to get
You go ahead. Talk
okay.
about it.
Okay. Misery Business, it was one of the first songs we wrote for the record. Man, it's kind of...
You're really tiny.
Oh.
I mean, I don't mean that to be... I'm not trying to be mean, but... Yeah. I remember when we had Mini-Me in. You remember that, Bean?
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
And I could not see his head over the board. I couldn't see him on the other side of the room.
That's what Haley's like, yeah.
Not quite. I'm sorry. But you're cute and small. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. You were saying. I apologize.
Oh, no. It's totally cool. It's not like I've never heard it before.
Misery Business.
Misery Business. It's about this chick who sort of came into our lives, like mine and the guys' lives, at one point, and just sort of used sex and her body to kind of overpower one of our friends. And it really hurt us because we were just all really young. We'd never seen someone have that much control over another person. And
right.
I guess 2.5, 3 years later, after harboring much anger from it, we wrote a song about it.
Fantastic.
But let's not discourage using sex as a weapon. I mean, there are times where it is appropriate, right? I mean, you're not saying don't ever do that. You're just saying choose your targets. Be careful, right?
Yeah. Choose your targets.
Haley's really more of a chicken McNugget than she is an actual person. I mean, she's so, like, you can, like put her in the palm of your hand, pretty much.
My gosh.
But you have to hear that all the time because the juxtaposition of your huge voice. Oh, I mean,
thanks.
You really have a powerful voice.
And as Psycho Mike has told us all...
They've got to be looking for, like, somebody off stage to be actually doing the voice.
Right, right.
Psycho Mike has told us, because he's seen you before, that you have a very powerful stage presence as well. And I think that also maybe is a little bit of a juxtaposition from the fact that you're an actual midget.
She's not a midget, Bean.
Now,
How tall are you, Haley?
Like 5'1", maybe? I don't know.
Well, I think 4'11", by the way. I think that's a cutoff for midget.
But when you guys fly, when you're lucky enough to fly, when you're out of the van, you're not on the Warped Tour or something like that, you fly, they just check you as as carry-on, right? I mean, you don't even have to get a seat, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I just hop in Josh's backpack.
Oh, man, I so envy that. Because they don't make seats for anyone on a plane that's over 5'8". You can't put your head back. You fall, all
true.
This crap. That would
yeah.
be great.
This is half of Paramore in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock. The other half is here, too. We're going to be hearing them all perform live in just a few minutes. I have to ask you this because, you said 2004, 2005, and you've come a long way. I mean, being on a show like ours and having the reception that you've had with this new Riot CD, I'm sure people ask you all the time, but, I mean, what's the secret? What advice do you give to the people even younger than you that come up to you and go, I want to be where you are? It's so hard to cut through these days and to get noticed. What's the secret there?
Man.
When you guys came from Tennessee, too, it doesn't seem like that's...
Yeah.
it really, honestly, for us, it was just that our love for music, like, we're so passionate about it and we work so hard. Work really does pay off in the end.
Yeah.
And these days, you know, the music industry is all over the place. You know, who knows what's going to sell, what's going to do well. But we just, you know, put all of our hearts into it and we're, you know, willing to accept whatever the...
And it wasn't like you guys were going to take your lives if you didn't get a record deal. You were just doing it for the love of playing music.
For love, totally. Right.
For love.
And was the Warped Tour, was that the biggest key component in terms of developing that fan base going out there year after year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really credit Warped Tour for, I mean, just about everything we've done, I think. You know, Kevin Lyman is from day one just been our biggest supporter. I mean, he's amazing.
That's very cool. That's a great tour to be on, too, because there's so many different bands and stuff.
It's so much fun.
How long were the Warped Tours? I think, didn't we send out a K-Rock listener to be a roadie on the Warped Tour this year?
Yeah, on about 35 dates this summer, we sent out somebody to work the Warped Tour. Yeah,
and they started calling him Pukey.
That's right.
If that gives you any idea how that went, that was his nickname.
Oh my God.
Do you guys love to tour, or is it something you just recognize is necessary to get the band going?
We love it. Yeah. Like, we'll get home after a tour, and after about 3 days, we'll be ready to go back out again because we're bored at home.
Yeah.
It really is.
You still live in Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the biggest show you guys have played in terms of number of people in front of you?
It's probably a festival called Rock Im Ring. It was in Germany.
Oh, right.
Like 80,000 people.
Oh. It was huge.
By the time we were, like, towards the end of our set, you know, I think there was around anywhere from 50 to 70. I don't know.
Wow. But just like, does it make you a lot more nervous, or are you just on stage doing your thing? Doesn't make any difference.
I mean, I think we do pretty well under pressure because we get so nervous and excited that, you know, doesn't matter if, you know, someone hits a wrong chord or whatever. It's just fun.
Just keep going.
And right. I think that really, like, shows through. I think people.
And Haley, no one past row three can see you anyway, so it's not like there's any pressure. I mean, they're looking at the stage going, where is the singing coming from?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's why I have, like, small man syndrome or something, because I get up there and scream at people like I'm angry, and I'm not bad at all.
You're just saying, look at me.
I'm tired of the short jokes. I've had it.
All right. Paramore is here. The CD is called Riot. It's available in stores and for download. Of course, you've been hearing Misery Business, but let me tell you something about this Paramore, by the way, and we always like to give you this heads up with the albums that come out. You don't buy that album, hear the song that you know, and go, wow, the rest of it sucks. You got four or five songs every bit as good as Misery Business on this CD. It's really consistent and really, really good.
Thank you.
Although with your love for Hall & Oates that we've discovered, I'm surprised you didn't cover any of their music on this new album.
We took a look at Haley's iPod, and she had The Carpenters on it, and she had Minor Threat, and she had NSYNC. And
that's
she had,
a heck of a playlist right there.
Yeah. And she had some band called Paramore on there.
All right.
I saw it was on there.
Yeah.
So. We jam out to our own music.
You know, when I'm on the plane, long ride.
Listen to yourself.
Why not?
Yeah.
No.
I need to play that bigger. I'm not big enough. All right. Paramore's here. You guys are going to perform for us, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. We'll go into the next room and some live music from Paramore next. The CD is Riot. The new single is Misery Business. We have Paramore in the studios. Which song are you going to do for us first?
We're going to play Misery Business.
Fantastic.
For you.
Live music on K-Rock.
Ready? One, two.
From the top, she's got a body like an hourglass, it's ticking like a clock. It's a matter of time before we all run out. When I thought he was mine, she caught him by the mouth. I waited 8 long months, she finally set him free. I told him I couldn't lie, he was the only one for me. 2 weeks and we get caught on fire. She's getting out for me, but I wear the biggest smile. Chances, they don't never matter, people never change. Once a whore, you're nothing more, I'm sorry, that'll never change. And about forgiveness, we're both supposed to have exchange. I'm sorry, Yanni, but I passed it up, now look this way. There's a million other girls who do it just like you. The thing is, it's as possible to get to who they want and what they like. It's easy if you do it right. Well, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse.
Come on. How about that?
Fantastic. That is not 8 in the morning singing. That's fantastic. Wow.
Thanks.
That's the band Paramore. You've heard the rocked out version here on K-Rock, and you can get it on the CD Riot in stores now. Jeremy,
have
is
we
playing
said the
bass.
Name of their CD once correctly?
No, I don't think so.
I know I've screwed it up 3 times.
Yeah,
sorry.
Josh is playing the guitar. We got Zach on the drums there, and that's tiny little Haley who's doing all the singing here this morning. Is it true, Haley? I wanted to ask you about that you almost accidentally drowned in a Big Gulp cup once. Did that happen?
No.
I heard that.
Oh, man.
Look, I just wanted to say tomorrow there's going to be a lot of bands out there, and Kid Rock is looking for an MC to replace Joe C, so you might want to just stay away from Kid Rock.
I got it covered.
All right.
Have you played with Pumpkins or Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Chris Cornell, any of those people before?
Well, no, not really. We played the same festivals as Smashing Pumpkins, but that we never got close to them. So, yeah, tomorrow's going to be the day.
It's going to be good times. And again, you can go to krock.com if you're going to the show to get lots of information about set times and whatnot. And there are some production seats still available. If you have not yet got your tickets, you can still buy some for a fantastic show tomorrow. The band is Paramore, not spelled like you'd expect. It's Paramore, and the website is paramore.net. We have time if you guys would mind blessing us with another song. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think we're going to play an older song from our first record. So this is Pressure.
Fantastic.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to count this off.
Okay, Zach's going to count us off.
I do that. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Tell me where our time went, and if it was time well spent. Just don't let me fall asleep, feeling empty again.
In the middle of it. I like that. That was good.
Sorry, Zach.
Were you laughing at Zach?
Zach makes me laugh.
He's a hell of a drummer over here. He's got some style.
That seemed bongo-like to me. Were we dealing with bongos there?
Yes, we are. One giant bongo. And he warned us ahead of time.
I was going to bring my 12-piece piece kit and,
yeah,
you know, and
didn't really fit.
Rototoms.
But no?
I don't blame you. I understand. That that was a version of a song from the All We Know Is Falling CD, I guess, from 2005. And the new one, I'm going to get it right here, is called Riot, in stores now. And Paramore, you guys are awesome. We really appreciate you coming in on K-Rock. We're really looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
And by the way, Paramore is playing it just after 3 o'clock. If you're going to the K-Rock LA Invasion, make sure you get there in time for that. And if you're not, you can see it at K-Rock.com. You can watch. So,
great.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, guys.
See you
tomorrow.
Carrie Hart going for the back. Carrie Hart just free fell from 40 feet in the sky. Carrie Hart has just done a backflip.
He came into our studio here in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook on his hands, walking on his hands. I mean, that's how much this dude's into action. Ladies and gentlemen, from Hart and Huntington Tattoo at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, so awesome to have him. We're here in his town, and Carrie Hart has joined us on the Gravity Instructor Off.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, dude, how are you?
Good, yeah. It's cool to have you guys in my town.
This town hasn't chewed you up and spit you out yet, because we keep having this conversation every time we come, and Ralph and Kevin say if they lived here, they'd be dead within 48 hours.
Well, Vegas is actually such a small town. There's really only a handful of places to go. It's not like a bigger city like L.A., Orange County, all that. I mean, you do everything 20 times and you're kind of over it.
Oh, so you pretty much...
See, because that,
I mean, I grew up here. I've been here since I was 4 years old. Yeah. So I've seen everything and done everything so many times. It's like...
Do you like what Las Vegas has become? Because it is so different from when you were coming up? Or do you miss the old days?
I think it's there's a happy medium. You know what I mean? I think it's great that it's bringing a family element, and it's it appeals to younger people, older people. You know, people want to spend money. People want to come out on the budget. So I like that about it. You know, and then it's also starting to get pushed more where people are coming out here for the lake, for the mountains, for, you know, off-road riding. It's not just, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
We were at the new club LAX in the Luxor.
Yeah.
And came out after that, I don't know, 12:30 or something like that. And it was good to see a mob from the Midwest with a little kid. Maybe three years old. 12:30 in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that killer?
In a casino. Yeah. Nice.
Mom and dad are at the blackjack table, and the kid's running around like on a long T-shirt.
So we say to Carrie, we're catching up. He's like, what'd you guys do last night? I'm like, well, we went to the gun range. We shot some, you know, some AK-47s. He's like, oh, yeah, I've done that. I've done that a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot. Are there a lot of places like that? Because this is the first one we've been to in Las Vegas.
There's three of them. There's one literally right down the street from my house where I go through a lot of ammo. And it's actually fun out here, too, because you can just go out in the desert and just let loose on burned-up cars and anything.
Nice.
Anything
is that legal?
Yeah.
No kidding.
He's got to be 1,000 feet from a residential house.
Can we do that today?
Let's go. I got an arsenal in my house.
I'm not kidding, by the way. I will blow the hell out of a car.
What's your weapon of choice, Gary?
I just got a new Desert Eagle.
Hey, what's that? Forgive me.
It's just the biggest... hand rocket pretty much out there. It's a big 50 caliber handgun.
Oh,
so yeah, it's,
we saw the 50 caliber shells last night.
Yeah.
And the guy, and by the way, we went to the Las Vegas gun, what's it called, Alex?
The gun store,
Las Vegas, right. And we went there, and they're all ex or current military or law enforcement, and they were telling us this 50 caliber bullet that you're talking about pulverizes a person.
Oh, yeah.
They just disintegrate if they get hit.
Yeah, I got a handgun on my nightstand.
A handgun?
Yeah.
On your nightstand?
Yeah. Yep. Oh.
I live out in the middle of nowhere, so.
Some poor sucker is going to break into your house, and he's going to wish he hadn't.
You so want that to happen, don't
you? I do. I really do.
Self-defense. Now, what's new at Hart and Huntington Tattoo? You got a second season on the air with the TV show now?
We're actually starting to tape our new show, I guess you'd call it. We've gotten away from ink. We're starting to do Heart Luck Life now, which is a little bit more of a lifestyle show. It's still going to be heavily on the tattoo shops, which now I have four shops.
Four shops?
Yeah. We're in Orlando at the City Walk, Cabo San Lucas, and Waikiki. Trying to keep an endless summer theme.
Look at you. No kidding.
I don't like the
all
winter.
Warm places.
Yeah. And,
so you're telling me when you travel for work, you get up in the morning, you go, what shop do I want to check out today? Cabo San Lucas, Hawaii, Orlando?
Hey, work's tough. Someone's got to do it.
Now, when you say you don't like the winter, is that because you're used to the heat, or is it because you've been injured a lot of times and it makes it hurt more?
It's a combine of all of it. My body hurts so bad in the wintertime, I can barely get out of bed. So I got to stay somewhere warm. And warm is always fun. I like winter, I like summer sports.
Have you seen any difference in tattoos in terms of what people are asking for, coming in for? I mean, are you getting a different crowd because they all see you on TV now?
Yeah, the nice thing is people are getting, like we were talking about outside, they're getting away from the flaming tribal bands and, you know, the fairy on the butt. You know, I think people have learned a lot and have evolved a lot.
Hold on, was that a gay joke? What just happened?
No, like the girls like want Tinkerbell on their butt. You know,
oh,
like,
that kind of fairy on the butt. Yeah, okay, right. I gotcha. Yeah.
So
you worried us there for a second.
Yeah. No, I think people are learning a lot. You know, from all the tattoo shows that are out there. Like, okay, there's you can actually think this through, and it's not about just the tribal man.
Right.
Right.
Not offense to anybody has a tribal band out there. I mean, everyone makes mistakes. I covered up my first tattoo, so it's all good.
We had Kat Von D in a couple of weeks ago. You know, she was the Miami Ink, and now she's got the LA Ink. And she has some of the worst tattoos you've ever seen in your life, doesn't regret any of them. She says, yeah that's just where I was at that time. That's what I wanted at that time. And it looks stupid now, but it's a good memory for me.
A lot of tattooists, I mean, they learn the hard way because they're apprenticing in a tattoo shop, and they're the guinea pig. And so they usually get
it
really crappy
like
tattoos.
It looked like she turned to grade school. Or loose with a just put something on my arm. That's fine.
I got a buddy of mine who did this horrible like dragon sleeve and had no desire to finish it. So he had a tattoo. It's just outline. So he had the tattooist go in and put numbers in a color chart, like color by numbers.
Oh my god!
And he's done. And the tattoo's finished.
Lightning, you haven't gotten a tattoo since we've been in Las Vegas. You're slowing down. What's going on with that?
Come on in. Hey,
all right.
We're open till 2.
We'd like to put a lightning bolt on his forehead.
There you go.
Would that work? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Definitely.
Excellent. All right. We got to take a quick break. Carrie Hart is here. Hart and Huntington Tattoo, of course, the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas. Now, the Palms is where the MTV Video Music Awards are going to be this weekend, right?
Yeah, that place is going to be a circus this weekend.
No,
yes, it is.
Kidding.
Have fun.
And from what I understand about the show, it's not in one venue where you just sit and watch the whole show. It's all over the whole hotel, right?
Yeah, I heard they're doing in all the different theme suites. They're having different artists perform, which it'll look great on TV.
Foo Fighters is going to be one of them, and a bunch of other
I think
artists.
Timberlake and
okay, good deal. All right, we'll talk more with Carrie when we come back. Right after this, on the world famous K Rock. Hey,
hey.
Nice. Needs
that. That was a good one, right?
Yep.
All right. It's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:28. We're in Las Vegas. Carrie Hart lives here part of the week. You go back and forth pretty much, do you, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm all over.
Hart and Huntington Tattoo. We talked about it at the Palms Casino Resort, the best place in Las Vegas if you're coming, you want a tattoo. But this dude has so many other things going on. You still got the race team, right?
Yep, still got the race team. Got a 4-man supermoto team.
Okay. And now you're talking about opening up a nightclub, too?
Yeah, I'm doing a nightclub in the Hard Rock Hotel. I'm actually
Fantastic.
Really excited about it.
Dude, in the Hard Rock. Where's it going to be? Body English is like downstairs, right?
We're actually taking over the whole entire sidebar. So when you walk into the club, it'll be the big front facade of the nightclub. Because they're doing a huge expansion over there. They're doing like 2,500 rooms and new music venue and all kinds of stuff. So
now,
we're the first thing.
How do you think, you know what? I've been successful doing this with the tattoo shops. I'm going to open a nightclub.
Well, honestly, the idea came, you know, with me being from Las Vegas. Everything in Vegas, I mean, not to knock it, but everything in Vegas is, you know, big mega clubs, shiny shirts, techno music, you know, like this big overdone production. So originally I wanted to do a very grimy, dirty rock bar in the downtown area, like down the art district.
Right.
We're kicking that idea around, and it just really wasn't making sense yet. I mean, the downtown area is still a few years off. So I have a great relationship with the guys at Hard Rock. You know, Randy, the president over there, and Phil Schley is one of my best friends. So I go, listen, this is the concept I want to do. It fits in perfect here. And what it is, it's a true, gritty rock bar. It's something that Vegas has never had. You know, it's like perfect example. Like, you guys just played Green Day. They were here about a year and a half ago. Tour manager hit me up like, hey, what's going on in Vegas? What's there to do? We're playing a big show at MGM. We want to hang out. I don't know where to send them. I can't imagine sending Billy Joe to
Dre
Pure
after hours.
Give him a shiny shirt and send him, you know, send him over to Pure.
Send him to Crave, dude. That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where I'm going to start sending everybody in Vegas.
There you go. So that's how we kind of came up with. We
Isn't that
do
weird
like a
though
champ.
In a town that has so much that has been so seriously neglected?
Well, the thing is for the longest time, there wasn't a good music scene here. It just is in recent years, especially now with Hard Rock or with the Palms doing Pearl Lounge, now you have two really strong, actually three with House of Blues, you have three strong music venues here. So now you're getting a good flow of artists coming through. So with that said, like we want to do something where, okay, great, you know, you got Aerosmith playing the MGM Arena, but afterwards we want to have a place where they can go. It's dark, beat up wood floors, got a small intimate stage set up, so they want to jump up and jam. It's like the old days of, you know, Sunset Boulevard back in the 70s and 80s.
When's that going to open, you think?
We're shooting for New Year's. We should be open for New Year's, at least for the night for New Year's, and then we'll be open full-time Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, check you out. That's awesome. Now, Lightning says he was talking to you before you came on the air. By the way, we apologize for that because, oh, my God, your whole life has to be, how can I get away from guys like Lightning?
how much do you like motorcycles? Seriously, are motorcycles the best?
Let's talk about tattoos more. He said there's a story we need to ask you about a fire, and I have no idea where that leads us.
Yeah, I've had a very interesting year. I mean, with the good comes the bad. With the race team that I had or have in the middle of the season, about a month before X Games, we had a 50-foot concept, or big massive trailer and 8 race bikes and the whole nine inside. We were on our way to Salt Lake for a race, and the thing sparked up on the highway and literally burned to the ground.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Lost our trailer. It was about $350,000. Lost all 8 race bikes, spare parts, gear. I mean, everything was gone.
Wow.
And so
it's like God's giving you the middle finger.
Pretty much.
So, why not just kill you?
Really? Exactly. Why not just run me over the trailer? How's that?
Now, you got insurance on stuff like that, but
that's the sticky part, you know.
Oh.
It's like the whole Katrina thing, you know. It wasn't written as a commercial policy, it was written as a personal policy.
That's what insurance companies do,
they look
for every way to not have to pay you.
So I had to cash flow the whole thing to get us back out, because we had X Games 4 weeks later, and I had two of my guys in X, so that was a nice check. So, but we're back on the road.
You raced on that Saturday at Home Depot, didn't you?
Yeah,
I saw you there. That was cool. How much more racing are you going to do?
You know what? Actually, it's kind of cool, because you guys have seen me through good times and bad times, and I'm feeling pretty healthy right now. This week, you know.
Except that it hurts so bad sometimes you can't get out of bed,
for that. I got to keep moving.
Like, when it's cold.
If I sit still, that's when I start to hurt. So I figure, you know what, I'm in good shape right now, and Supermoto is a little less impactful than freestyle motocross.
Right.
So I'm having fun.
What'd you make of the story of the year at X Games this year about the kid in Michigan or something, or Ohio, the guy that came out with no sponsors, just wearing a T-shirt basically to try to do that double bat flip? Was that unbelievable that he tried that?
Unbelievable is a word for it.
what was his name? Mitchell? Something Mitchell?
Scott
Mitchell, maybe?
Scott Mitchell.
The only thing, I'm glad that, I'm glad that he's in one piece. I'm glad he didn't get banged up too bad. The only thing that I don't like about the whole situation is for people that don't know, we're coming off a horrible injury that happened to Stephen Murray, who's a BMX rider.
Right.
I mean, paralyzed, first time it's happened in the BMX world. And literally that same night, Jake Brown dropped from 50 feet, and luckily he didn't die.
His shoes, do you remember seeing that?
Oh, yeah, shoes fell off. Yeah.
They didn't fall off, they exploded.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh, it looked horrible.
And then to have someone kind of come out of left field who has no proven, he's not doing the contest series, he's not an established name.
It's just
for
like a fan coming out of the stands is all he was.
It really is. It's like me saying, because I watch big wave surfing, I'm going to get towed in over at the North Shore.
Right.
It makes about that much sense.
Right.
I'm good at the video game, so I can go surf.
There was also sort of a feeling that they didn't really want this unknown guy to come in and repeat what Travis had done.
And that's the thing, too. You got guys who are, like Twitch and like all the guys that you guys know.
Right.
This is a lifelong commitment. They practice, they train. If you're that good and you're that able to pull off these technical tricks, then go out and do the series.
Right.
Go start off the Dew Tour and work your way up and get legitimately invited. Submitting a video on YouTube, I don't think was the best way to invite somebody. But
doesn't seem like it.
I'm glad that he's in one piece and he's safe. And I want to see the guy come out and compete, but pay your dues.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I guess we got to leave it there because unfortunately we're running out of time. But
the new show quickly.
Yes, let's talk about that.
The new show is called Heart Luck Life.
Heart Luck Life.
We start. We're getting ready to start taping here pretty soon, and it'll be airing next summer. And it's gonna be more of a lifestyle show. It still has the elements of Inked, but a little bit more lifestyle driven. It's gonna cover Wasted Space at the Hard Rock, the nightclub, and all my tattoo shops and just life in general.
The race team.
Everything's just so crazy right now, and we have so much fun stuff going on. It's just going to be a really cool lifestyle documented show.
Don't you hate, though, having cameras around you so much?
Yeah, it's when you want them there, it's fun and great to have them. And when you don't, like when you're having a bad day and you really don't want to camera stuff in your face,
that's when you get out the gun.
Exactly.
Out the weapon.
That's right.
Back him right the hell off.
That's why I got the 50 cal.
He's got an answer for your camera, doesn't he?
He does.
All right. Well, Kerry Hart has, he owns the world pretty much. We're just happy to have this tiny, tiny slice of his time here this morning. He is perhaps the next president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Kerry Hart joining us here in Las Vegas.
That's somebody I would vote for.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely.
Awesome to see you. Thank you so much. Say hi to the wife for us, too.
You know how you call customer service these days, and a lot of times it's outsourced to India? You're actually talking to somebody from India when they're answering your questions?
Mm-hmm.
And you mean by a lot of times, all the time, every single time, always.
Yeah. And they kind of have tried to learn the accent. So I saw a piece on 60 Minutes about this where they try to act like they're speaking English with an American accent, so no one knows.
Oh, wow.
But if you ask a lot of times the customer service, ask them where they are, they'll say, India. So, but this is another step. This is really hard to believe, but apparently the Pasadena Now website is being outsourced to people in India to write the news.
That's bizarre.
Yes. James McPherson, the editor and publisher of Pasadena Now, hired two reporters last weekend to cover the Pasadena City Council. One lives in Mumbai and will be paid $12,000 a year. The other works in Bangalore. And they're going to be writing the news. They're going to be writing stories on what's going on in Pasadena. They're outsourcing the actual news covering.
I wonder how they get the information and stuff, like the city council meetings.
I think those are streamed. I think those are available on the web. You can watch those online is what I would imagine. But there's your answer, Kevin, right there. It's $12,000 a year. Right. How much would you have to pay to get a full-time journalist, you know, somebody who's been to college, to cover that as a United States citizen? You couldn't hire somebody for that. So
I guess,
obviously,
but
that's why they do it.
I guess. But if you're talking about writing the news, that seems like maybe somebody ought to be there.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and they actually found people to work for them on the Indian Craigslist. That's how they actually ended up hiring these people that they'd be working. So let's call the Pasadena Now website, see if we can get a hold of somebody over there, maybe James himself, find out what's up. Well, that's a weird touch.
Hello?
Pasadena Now, may I help you?
Hi, we're looking for James McPherson, please.
I'm sorry, James is not here right now. May I take a message for him?
Is there any way you could turn down the sitar playing, sir?
There's no sitar playing.
There's no.
I'm in Pasadena. Go Rose Bowl.
So you're saying that you're in Pasadena. Really? What's the weather like out there today?
I'm an American Pasadena night. And I work for this website, and I could not be happier.
Okay, so you're actually in Pasadena then?
Yes, my name is Doug.
Doug, it sounds like you have a bit of an accent, like maybe you're not in Pasadena.
Oh, that's because I used to live in Glendale.
Oh, that's where the accent comes from?
Yeah, I have a Glendalian accent.
I'm happy to be living
in Pasadena.
Can you do us a favor and just look out the window and tell us what the weather's like in Pasadena right now?
I'm sure you know. You're living there too, right?
Right.
Well, I don't know how you would know that.
but I'm saying, who's the mayor of Pasadena then? Maybe just tell us that.
So let me look out the window first for you. It's raining?
No, not at all.
No, I'm kidding, because it's so sunny, it's not raining.
It is sunny.
I was making an American joke, the way we always kid each other, we Americans.
So you're not one of the reporters in India, that's what
No, sir.
You're not.
I am local boy. Pasadena, go Cougars.
Okay, I don't think there's no Cougars.
Go Norton Simon Museum.
Well, that is in Pasadena. There you go. That's good.
Cheer it, really.
Go Colorado Boulevard. Yeah. My favorite street, road, boulevard. To walk, drive.
Yeah, you don't live there, do you? You don't live in Southern California at all.
I am born and raised in Southern California.
All right, what's a restaurant that you've gone to recently that was really good? Give us a... Really good restaurant.
Oh, do you know the one on the corner?
Which corner?
The one they serve the food at.
Which one? Which
right
food?
There, on that major thoroughfare that everyone loves so dearly.
Mm-hmm. Which thoroughfare?
Pasadena Street.
Pasadena Street,
yes.
Did you say?
Corner of Pasadena and California.
Well, you've done the research.
There are so many good hamburgers there. I love to eat hamburgers. I do not think cows are sacred. That's craziness. You crazy people in India think that way.
I'm sure.
Hey,
yeah.
Doug, it's Doug, right?
Doug Jackson, yes.
Doug Jackson, right.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Did you happen to go... Right. Did you happen to stop by the Rose Bowl swap meet that they had there in the parking lot yesterday?
Oh, I could not get enough swapping.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I bring a box of things to swap with my fellow Americans, and we all have a good laugh at our swapping skills. Once I swapped a goat for a man's daughter.
Well, that doesn't happen in America.
God, of course it doesn't.
Doug?
I'm kidding. That would be silly.
Kidding again.
Flag for some currency.
No?
I once swapped.
Just admit to us you're in India.
I swapped a baseball cap for some apple pie.
It's very American.
Just naming American things.
Go Cadillac. I love to drive big, expensive cars that use a lot of gas. I sure do.
Look, Doug, it's okay to admit you're in India.
One thing I'd never do is ride a train on the outside. That's craziness. I drive India without a towel on my head. Because I am short American.
Yes, you are.
Oh, God, please let me keep this job.
Yeah, you're in India, aren't you?
I'm so much in India. I don't know anything about Pasadena.
How do you write these stories, then?
I make it all up.
Okay.
Great.
Couldn't you tell the city council story I wrote? There was a magic flying carpet in it. I would have thought that'd be obvious to you.
We didn't see that particular story.
I'm a bad journalist.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
I think Kevin killed Bean. I haven't heard him in a while on these taped intros.
It's been a couple intros.
I think he finally snapped and just killed him. Think it's possible?
Yeah.
I apologize if my voice sounds a little rough. I was screaming at my television set last night.
It was a tough one.
If you watched Monday Night Football, you'll know why. Philadelphia Eagles are in rough shape.
They did score four field goals, though, after getting into the red zone four times. That's good, right?
It's better field to goals. Score six at a time than three at a time.
Oh, there's a play where you can make more points than three?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I have to look into this football thing more carefully. Yeah, I think it's going to be a long season for your radio pal, Ralph. Just saying, Psycho Mike, your Cowboys look like they're not going to get much fight from the Eagles for the NFC East this season.
The Eagles, though, they're that team that you really can't, especially in the NFC East. I mean, you can't really count them out.
But they have pulled their ass out of the fire so many times now in the past 6 years or so. I don't know if they have any more miracles left in them. You know, when McNabb went down last season, Garcia stepped in and went on this amazing run and got them into the playoffs. They've started off 0-2 before in the past, but it was against teams like New England and Tampa Bay when they had just come out of the Super Bowl and not against the Green Bay Packers and the Redskins. Nothing against those teams. They're fine teams, but those are tickets
they
should have won.
Upper echelon teams.
They're supposed to have won those games. So. Yeah, it was not fun for me last night, so if my voice sounds a little raw, it's because I was drinking and screaming and then crying.
It's a rough combo.
Respectively. Tomorrow, by the way, I was getting a bunch of emails, people saying, hey, tomorrow's International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
What's going on tomorrow, then?
What are you doing? Well, it is the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. I am in the studio bringing you the Showbiz Beat. Psycho Mike's here joining me. So we won't be doing a full-blown Talk Like a Pirate Day celebration. However, the good people at Walt Disney have decided to throw their own little Talk Like a Pirate Day festivity.
What?
They have taken over the El Capitan Theater, which is their theater there in Hollywood, across from Hollywood and Highland. Great place to see a movie, by the way. In order to celebrate the DVD release, the upcoming DVD release of Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, they're going to have a special big screen edition of that. You know, it's been out of theaters for a while. So if you missed it on the big screen and you want to get a chance to see it, I will be hosting a special evening at the El Capitan Theater tomorrow night to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day with Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. We're also going to have real pirates there, sword fighting. They're going to teach you how to talk like a pirate. It's going to be quite the event. The only way you can get tickets is here on the world-famous K-Rock. So listen tomorrow morning during the Showbiz Beat, and I will be giving away tickets all morning long for tomorrow night's party. So
sounds awesome.
It's going to be a good time. And tomorrow is Adam West's birthday.
Oh, my God.
So it's a twofer for me. What do I celebrate more, Talk Like a Pirate Day or the birthday of TV's Batman?
In 24 hours, you can divide your time up equally,
I'm sure I'll be able to find time for everything. Let's take a look at the Showbiz news, shall we? People Magazine says Kevin Federline has a new girlfriend.
Anna.
No, it's not Anna. It's Colin Farrell's ex-girlfriend and former sex tape co-star Nicole Nerain.
Oh!
Did you see that Colin Farrell sex tape, by the way? I know you're a big fan of the celebrity sex tapes, Mike.
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
She's a hot chick, man.
She is smoking hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her.
Mm-hmm.
I would wreck that chick.
Yeah. Colin needs a trim. I noticed that in the video.
It's ironic that he has a shaved head in the video and a massive Meadowlark Lemon ball fro.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like Richard Roundtree in the good old days of Shaft down there. That's what he looks like to me. A rare Richard Roundtree reference. Anyway, he was hanging out with her at a party here in Los Angeles on Thursday night. I'm not quite sure who was throwing this party, but the name of it was the Financially Hung Black Card Party.
I'm sorry?
The Financially Hung Black Card Party. I'm guessing it has something to do with the American Express right. Black Card, right? But is financially hung the new phrase? If you've got a lot of cash, are you financially hung?
I guess. I guess you have to use the words black and hung together.
I guess so. According to onlookers, they were dancing. She had her arms on his shoulder. They were clearly making advances, and apparently the two were very happy together. Kevin Federline with Nicole Noreen. Doesn't seem right, does it?
Nope.
Not even a little bit. Meanwhile, Kevin's ex, Britney Spears, things just keep getting worse for this little white trash maniac.
This is a mess.
It certainly is. Jeff Quatinetz, who is or was her manager.
Really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Quatinetz?
Yeah.
It's not an easy name to say. He works for a management company called The Firm, and he had been representing Britney until, that is, today. Here's the statement released by Jeff this morning on TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. It saddens us to confirm media reports that we have terminated our professional relationship with Britney Spears. We believe Britney is enormously talented and has made a terrific record, but current circumstances have prevented us from properly doing our job. She's too insane to manage. That's basically what they're saying. Apparently, things really hit rock bottom at the VMAs when Britney decided to switch the costume she was supposed to wear with that god-awful glittery bikini she ended up wearing without telling anyone, including her management. Then Jeff and the firm wanted to meet with her after the award to discuss the debacle. She refused to meet with them, so you can't manage somebody who doesn't want to be managed.
She's gone over the deep end.
She's a lost cause, absolutely. How about O.J. Simpson?
Good guy.
This is a mess. Talk about messes.
This is a mess.
He is still behind bars at the Clark County Detention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. No bail has been set as of yet. He's supposed to have a bail bond hearing tomorrow, which could also serve as the arraignment, but no one knows for sure if that will happen or not. O.J. was booked on 6 counts. We talked to Harvey Levin of TMZ.com yesterday. He had that amazing audio of O.J. going off on the dude who reportedly was trying to sell some ill-gotten memorabilia featuring O.J. Harvey thought he was being booked on 5 counts. I guess they added one. Here's what O.J. is facing. 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, 2 counts of robbery with a deadly weapon, conspiracy to commit burglary, and burglary with a firearm. Sounds like a lot of redundant charges there, if you ask me, but I think he's guilty, guilty, guilty. If he's convicted, O.J. could get anywhere from 3 to 35 years on each count.
35 on each?
Yes, 3 to 35. That's the range of sentencing.
It'd be awesome if he got like 140
years. Just load him up. Just load him up with all the years he can carry. TMZ.com yesterday posted the tape-recorded confrontation, between O.J. and the memorabilia dealer in Vegas at the Palace Station Hotel and Casino. We had about 30 seconds of it yesterday. We still have that tape?
I do. Would you like to?
Hey, here's O.J. and his allegedly armed thug buddies going into this room, and O.J. going off on this guy for allegedly stealing the merchandise he was trying to sell with his likeness and autograph on it.
Think you can steal my to sell it? Don't let nobody out of here. You motherfucker.
Yeah. A lot of anger in that room.
My favorite part is that and you only get this inside dirt from Harvey Levin. He let us know that on the way out from stealing sports memorabilia, they snagged his sunglasses, too.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Took the dealer's sunglasses off his head.
These Ray-Bans look nice, too.
He took some Joe Montana autographed lithographs, I guess, for O.J.'s personal collection. I doubt they were stolen from O.J. Tomorrow we'll let you know what happens at the bail bond hearing and possible arraignment. Should be some good stuff. If you want to hear more of that tape, by the way, you can go to TMZ.com. They posted the full 6-minute censored version and the uncensored version, with all the good words left intact. So please enjoy. Good news for Dave, the King of Mexico. You know, he was always a Gilmore Girls fan.
Oh, yes.
Well, former Gilmore Girls star Lauren Graham, who I think is a major hottie.
Yeah, oh,
she's
yeah.
She's adorable. She's just signed a rather large 7-figure development deal with NBC, so you can look forward to seeing her on a comedy or drama series upcoming
for her on NBC. And Will Ferrell has announced that he is going to auction off a cameo role in his upcoming movie Step Brothers. All the proceeds will go to the Cancer for College Foundation, which was founded by one of Will's buddies at USC, Craig Pollard, who is a cancer survivor himself. Bidding starts at $5,000, and the winner will be announced on September 27th, later this month. So it's a good cause. If you want to be in the movies and you want to show up in a Will Ferrell movie, they'll probably cut you out, but don't feel bad. I've been there. You can bid on that, so good luck. Today's celebrity birthdays. Exhibit, rapper and host of Pimp My Ride, turns 33 years old today.
Yeah.
James Marsden, of course, played Cyclops in the X-Men movies. He is 34. Jada Pinkett Smith, who is an actress and a singer and married to Will Smith. She is 36 years old today. Have you ever heard her band?
I have. I saw them on Ozfest.
They're hard. They rock hard.
Oh, they rip.
It's not what you think Jada Pinkett Smith would be into.
No, and she does. She has all her special like heavy metal outfits, too. She comes out. You know, you're expecting Jada Pinkett to come out on stage, and all of a sudden, like leather clad, badass dominatrix.
And she lets her hair go all nutty wild stuff. Yeah, it's good times. Fred Willard, one of my favorite funny men. He is 68 years old today. Robert Blake, another very, very funny dude, unless you're married to him. He is 74
laid back guy.
Old. Very laid back. And James Gandolfini, man who I've never seen smile in public. Doesn't seem to be a happy fella. Doesn't seem to be jolly. The Emmys, he was sitting there just wishing, looked like he just wished the world would just swallow him up. Didn't want to be there. 46 years old today, star of The Sopranos. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to thank the K-Rock listener who tipped us off to the countdown, the Hayden Panettiere countdown that's already on the net. You can actually put it on your browser if you want to. Like right now, it's 19 days, 13 hours, 51 minutes, and 44 seconds till Hayden turns 18, for instance, if you wanted to know that.
What's the website?
And it's HaydenPanettiereFans.com is the site if you want to check that out. Not that there'd be any reason you'd want to count down to a beautiful young teenager like that becoming 18, but if there were, now you know where to go.
Later this hour, we're going to talk to Steve Zahn from the new movie Rescue Dawn, and we have Travis Pastrana coming up for the X Games, plus more tickets for you to go to the X Games. They start tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Friday, at Staples Center and Home Depot, and then Saturday and Sunday just at Home Depot, and it's just it's going to be fantastic.
Good times. I'm impressed with the smart people, people who invent stuff, people who figure stuff out, people who unlock the mysteries of life, because let's face it, if it were up to guys like Kevin and me, nothing would ever get invented, nothing would ever get figured out. We certainly wouldn't have landed on the moon, we wouldn't have radio, we wouldn't have microwaves, we wouldn't have cars. None of that stuff ever would have been invented because we're not smart enough. We don't have that gene in us. But there are people out there who are working hard.
We'd have nothing but alcohol. That's the only thing we would have.
I know. We'd still be living in caves and catching our own food. I mean, that's how advanced we'd be. But when you realize that there are scientists whose job it is today to get up in the morning, get dressed, drive down to the office, and then they work on figuring out how to make mice be schizophrenic. That's an occupation that I can't even get my head around.
Scientists have done that. They've genetically engineered mice and helped them develop the physical and psychological characteristics of having schizophrenia.
That is amazing.
So they give them schizophrenia, and then, of course, they hope to find the answer.
Right, the genes or
whatever. For human beings.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So we asked producer Lightning to line up somebody to talk about this groundbreaking research that is real and is going on right now at the prestigious Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. And I believe we have on the line Dr. Akira Sawa with the hospital. Good morning, doctor.
Johns Hopkins University. How can I help you?
We're calling for Dr. Sawa. It's Kevin and Bean. We have an interview scheduled.
Oh, the doc's out right now. Can I take a message?
Is this Bat Boy?
No. I'm a mouse.
Oh, you're the mouse that we were just talking about that the doctor's been working on.
I have no idea if you're talking about me or not. I don't listen to your show.
We were talking
I'm
about...
I'm a big boy fan.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Okay. The neighborhood.
We were talking about the idea that people, that scientists are now giving mice schizophrenia so they can, you know, discover a cure.
Yeah, they want to give us schizophrenia so they can cure us.
Yes.
How about just not giving us schizophrenia in the first place?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is use mice to come up with something to help humans.
Well, I think that is the general plan, yeah.
Okay, so you're one of the mice? Or?
I am one. They have been, they developed it, so I have the gene.
Oh, you do? Okay.
For schizophrenia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be studying me carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And go f*** yourself, you mother f***, sucker.
Whoa. What's that all about?
What?
I said, what was that all about? All of a sudden, you just started screaming at us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just swore at us.
Oh, did I, bitch? Why'd you suck my mouth,
Oh my God.
Hello? You guys still there?
Yeah, we're here. We're here, yeah. Is there someone else on the line?
No, it's just me.
Huh.
Oh, you know what it must be?
What?
I'm schizophrenic.
Oh.
That's what's going on here. Yeah. Huh? You have multiple personalities.
Sometimes my personality does a little flip-flop. Yeah,
I see.
I apologize.
It's a little scary.
You can stick your head up my mouth if you want.
It's a little creepy.
But you sound like such a nice, polite young mouse, and
thank
then you just
appreciate
turn.
I really strive for that. My mom raised me well. Uh-huh. She ate my other brother, but she raised me well.
That's wrong.
Kind of traumatic.
But sometimes they eat their young mice.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, they sure do. Yeah.
Right.
So
when
are you
eat
just
me, eat this? Lick my mouth.
Oh, they got to cure this poor mouse. This is tragic.
I'm sorry. Did I do it again?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have no control over it and no memory of it, oddly
wow,
enough.
Wow, you keep going in and out of it.
Yeah, I can use some meds.
Yeah,
yeah, I bet.
Well, yeah.
Are they not giving you any meds? Because I thought that was the reason they were giving you the schizophrenia.
Well, not yet. The first part of the trial is they just monitor me and see what my behavior is like.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then apparently they give me the medication.
I
so,
see.
Smell my fingers! Smell my fingers! Don't they smell like cheese?
Oh, I don't even want to know what that means. I hope you're talking about cheese.
Were you talking about cheese there, I hope?
Yes.
Sure, okay.
I'm a mouse. I eat cheese.
Glad to hear that, yeah. So how long is it till you get the drugs, do you know?
I think, the doc, he's at lunch. Let's see. So I'm hoping around 1 o'clock today I'll be there
okay.
So I can your
All right, listen.
All right. I think we're out of time, actually, for this.
Did I turn you on?
No,
no not
want,
at all.
You want it, don't you? You want it. Who's your mouth? Who's your mouth?
You,
I did it again, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
I'm sorry. Why do my fingers smell like cheese? Weird.
I got to ask this question. I know it's going to be difficult, but is this civil war at the Kevin Beach
yes.
or just sectarian violence? You got to tell me what the distinction is here.
There is no distinction. It's civil war and sectarian violence.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Lisa, stay out of this. If you don't know what you're talking about,
right.
Stay out of it.
Woman,
we have a topic that has been splitting us right down the middle, and we are in danger of killing each other. And so we need to actually bring this onto the air and get it over with and get it out.
Get it settled, I
hard
think.
Hard times behind the scenes
yes.
at the Kevin and Bean Show this week, ladies and gentlemen. I know it seems like one big happy family. You tune in and get some yucks while you hear the show in the morning. But I'm telling you, it is practically hair-pulling in the hallways.
After the show in the office, it is screaming and yelling and throwing things, and it's getting ugly.
It's because Dave's so wrong. That's
and that's
why.
Because Dave, the King of Mexico, and Omar are
God.
Both.
The hell is wrong with you guys?
The most wrong people on the planet. Now, here's what we're arguing about. Here's what we're arguing about. Uncrustables, which are good.
No. The best.
If you don't mind, I'd like to present the case first.
Jesus.
Uncrustable, for those of you that don't know, you can get them in the freezer section at your store, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they are pre-prepared peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
With no crust.
Uncrustables. So you take them out.
Hey! If you're going to present it, don't mock it, dude.
Good point. You have to
okay.
be objective.
All right, you present the Uncrustables.
No, you're doing a good job.
All right, shut up. You have to take them out and thaw them out for like 30 minutes before you can enjoy them.
Misconception.
Hold on,
hold on.
I got this one, Omar.
This is a misconception.
Hold on, let me finish. And the argument is that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made by hand with fresh peanut butter, fresh jelly, and fresh bread... Our argument is better than Uncrustables. Their argument is no way the Uncrustables beat even a handmade fresh peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How is that even possible to argue? It's like arguing that frozen pizza is better than, you know, pizza made from a great restaurant. That's just ridiculous.
Okay, I want to hear about the half hour thawing thing.
Yeah.
Because Dave is arguing that.
You do have to thaw them, right?
Right.
But when you buy them from the store, they're in the frozen section. But once you buy them, you take them out. You just drive home, put them in your fridge. They're thawed by the time you even get to them.
And once
you
leave them in your
fridge. Untrue. It clearly states
no,
on the box.
It's way too
have
frozen.
Do you buy these on a regular basis?
Yes. My wife eats them daily.
Okay, then.
Does
they,
she know the goodness
you know
of
they
them.
Thaw in like 20 minutes.
20 to
you
30
buy
minutes.
Okay, fine.
Oh,
you stick
wow,
them in your
20
fridge,
minutes.
Fine.
That's so much less.
Listen to me.
Here's
listen
the thing.
To
it
me.
Takes
whatever.
Listen
but no big deal. You don't have to wash any dishes. You prepare your little dumb sandwich. And then what the hell's
like for a week?
Okay. You make your dumb sandwich. What's the worst part of this damn sandwich? The crust. The crust blows. If you don't want the
crust.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Not if you use fresh bread. It's not bad. It's not like
and
it's
some
hard.
Of us enjoy crust, you idiot. Listen to me.
I don't
listen
care what you enjoy.
Listen to me. You've had your point. Let me make my point here. This is not just about Uncrustables. To me, it angers me because it's symbolic of what is the downfall of our society.
Wow.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich in and of itself is convenience food. It's something you eat when you don't have time
what
to make
is more
real
convenient
food.
Than reaching over, picking up one of these, opening a goddamn bag, and oh, check it out. You're still making your sandwich. You're still opening your I'm going peanut butter and jelly goodness right now, man. It's,
yeah, where's your sandwich?
No, where's your sandwich?
How much
are you
eating
a peanut
butter? Right, you two stop yelling.
How much more convenience do you need from making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's like saying, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette, but, you know, I just don't have time to make that type of commitment. I'm just going to smoke, chew some Nicorette instead. It's right there. It's nicotine. It's prepackaged.
What does it take a minute to make a sandwich?
That's
maybe?
Not, that's not the same thing.
It is the same thing. You want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
A piece of gum is not the same thing.
You what? And a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a prepackaged hockey puck in your freezer with crap stuffed in it is not the same thing either.
These are the same ingredients.
It's more convenient. Are you eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich
You also don't get the option to choose whatever peanut butter and jelly you want to make.
Sometimes, maybe you do. Sometimes I want almond butter with a little bit of raspberry. Maybe I'll mix it up and get myself a little bit of clove fresh in peanut butter.
Gourmet douche.
You're right. I am.
Douche. It's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, they're great.
All right. Hold on. Everybody, hold on. Everybody.
What?
Shh. Everyone, hold on. Just for a second.
Kevin, how about a 12-second musical interlude while the crew comes out?
I'm about to break out the baseball bat, people.
Yeah, sure.
Now,
I got really angry.
Here's the deal. Yeah, here's the deal. We all like Uncrustables. I mean, I think we all do. Do you?
They taste good.
Yeah. Oh, they're delicious.
Mm. They're good. But real is better. That's the
our side.
Well, it's
prepackaged.
Can I just say,
yes, Lisa.
There's too much jelly in there for me.
It's pre-made. You don't get the choice.
I like to choose how much of peanut butter and how much of jelly I like.
Sometimes you're just not in the mood for too much peanut butter. Sometimes you want a little bit more sweet. Sometimes you want to overdo it with the peanut butter because you're like, I'm in the mood for some rich flavor.
It's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'm sorry. It's not a peanut butter and jelly. It's a weak-ass rip-off.
How many peanut butter
and
jelly sandwiches have you had this morning?
None.
Well, because I already have one.
Hey, Dave.
I don't want any.
Hey, Dave, he couldn't have made one in this amount of time?
No.
What's wrong
and
with
by the
you?
Way, there's no
if
ABS
you to something that takes 30
like,
minutes
if you don't
to
want
make.
Any, what the hell are you doing arguing this?
All right, you shut up, Omar. I think I hate you more than ever.
There's no convenience to something that takes 30 minutes to make, by the way. It's ridiculous.
It doesn't take 30 minutes.
The phone
minutes
lines
make.
Are jammed. The phone lines are jammed. We need to take a break. Uncrustables versus what?
We have to keep moving. Lazy you can, couch potato.
How lazy can
couch
you be?
Disgusting pigs.
Yeah, they're lazy.
God
as hell.
All right, damn.
Listen, we'll take a quick break. We'll take your calls. Uncrustables versus peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's the great debate, and it continues next. Reading from the directions now on the Uncrustables. Directions: keep frozen until ready to eat. Number two: thaw 30 to 60 minutes. At room temperature, 30 minutes to an hour.
Pretty convenient right there.
And number three, eat within 8 hours of defrosting for best flavor. Now, I'm fine with Uncrustables. I think they taste good. If you don't have the option of making a real sandwich, those are fantastic. If you do have the option, you lose. Those
are
worse.
They're a little pricey.
How much are they for a box?
Well, a box is $3.49.
$3.49 for four little kind of half sandwiches.
That's nothing.
Right. Now Alex
went
out and
bought. Oh, listen, muddy bags.
Alex went out and bought all the stuff to make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for $10.48, and I was figuring out how many sandwiches you could make.
Right.
And it's like 40.
Paying more for an admittedly inferior product. Great job,
no
guys.
Way.
Good for you. Keep
this
it
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kirok. If you haven't figured it out, it's Uncrustables versus the real PB&J. Let's do one email from Kirok listener Gavel. Although Uncrustables are a very convenient and nutritious treat, homemade PB&J sandwiches are now and forever and will always be superior to Uncrustables.
That's
come on, common
about.
Sense dictates that anything made with love and by hand is superior to a machine robot made product. My decision is final. Is what he said.
Wow. Well, if his decision is final.
His name's Gavel, dude.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in. We'll start with Dennis. He's in Chino. What do you think? Uncrustables versus real homemade PB&J. What do you think?
Real homemade PB&J.
And how come?
Because it's with the Uncrustables, you either have not enough jelly. I have three boys at home. And one wants more peanut butter. The other one wants more jelly. And my wife bought a press last week that makes the gets the crust out and pinches the edges. You know that bottle cap pinch that it has on the side.
Yeah, that the Uncrustables has.
Okay, so you're paying more to make Uncrustables.
Yeah, come on, that costs a lot of money.
So you're saying you get your choice of flavors and everything else with it.
You get your choice of flavors, right. How much jelly, how much peanut butter.
What more flavor do you want? Grape, strawberry. Those are the two main ones.
Sometimes in an Uncrustable, one overdoes the other, and you don't want that, Dave. Do you understand that?
What are you talking about?
Some of us do not want diabetes. We're against it.
Javier in West Covina, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
PB&J, hands down. This is the most ridiculous argument I've heard in my life.
Thank you.
That jelly that comes in those whatever the hell you call them.
Uncrustables.
Disc of death.
How dare you?
The horrible jelly I've ever had in my life. It's like batteries coming out of a raccoon's crap.
Yes. But at least you have to wait 30 to 60 minutes to get it.
It's the same jelly that you buy in the stores.
Not true.
It's Smuckers.
It's not the premium Smuckers. It's the whack-ass Smuckers. That's how they do
it. What are you
talking
about? So whack.
How do you know it's the whack-ass? Yeah, did you make it?
Maybe I've seen some, underground documents that you don't know about. Jim in Tahunga, good morning.
Hello, I like the Uncrustables.
Better? Yes. Great. Wait a minute, better?
Much better. Listen,
yeah.
I work at the Midnight Mission on Skid Row, and by the time I get to work and have my lunch, my Uncrustable is perfect. It's the best tasting sandwich I've ever had.
But you have to take it out 30 to 60 minutes ahead of time.
Yeah, but he takes it to work with him.
He takes it to work, right,
takes it to work. And it's perfect. When you
Oh, wait a minute. But the thing about a real peanut butter jelly sandwich is you can't take that to work.
No, the jelly gets into the bran.
No. It gets all to one side.
And it does it on those?
Absolutely.
It
doesn't.
You have to make it right
you
away.
You see, people
and eat,
eat Uncrustables.
Everything is nice and tight between those two pieces of bread with no.
Are you still talking about food?
Yes.
I hope not.
Matt in El Monte. Good morning, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Okay, Matt's Earth a window licker, by the way.
Matt says that you can't even unthaw them right.
He can't
I don't know how hard that
right.
is.
Well, yeah, sometimes,
I
can't even have to yeah,
sometimes
really
hard. Sometimes they unthaw unevenly, which is whack.
Well, don't you just wait a little longer?
Yeah, you have to wait a little longer. That's the point. Fresh bread, fresh peanut butter, fresh jelly, so much better. Those are great if you don't have access.
Sometimes they unthaw not properly. Unevenly. You got what? like a 3 square millimeter that's still frozen while the rest of it's
what is the sun just hitting like one spot of your sandwich? What are you doing?
Yeah, but then sometimes you get bread that has all kinds of green crap on it.
What are you talking
Maybe
about?
We're
you moron?
In your neighborhood,
bread and stuff.
All right. Not all of us live in a missile silo in Long Beach, you low rent homo.
Matt in Chatsworth. Good morning, Matt. Yes.
Yeah, the best way to thaw these things out, you put the entire box in the freezer except for like one or two sandwiches.
Yeah.
And you put those in the fridge.
And so you have to wait for 30 minutes to eat it?
No, you don't, because if you pull them straight out of the fridge, you can eat them right then.
Yeah, 30 minutes after you put them in.
Yeah, well, it's not like you come home from the grocery store and right away you have to have
one. No, but we're saying you have to plan 30 minutes ahead to eat a peanut butter jelly.
You're missing what he's saying.
And if you think, hey, I'd like a peanut butter jelly sandwich, you can make one like that.
Listen.
And it's
fresh. You buy them at the store. You drive home. It's 30 minutes later. You open the box. You throw a couple in the fridge. The rest in the freezer.
And you leave them in the fridge for a day or two.
Absolutely. Anytime you want one Uncrustable, bam, right there. You're out the door.
I don't even know.
Can't do that with a handmade one.
I can't do that.
You're going to take a mistake.
Right in the fridge.
This is not like a TV dinner where you're taking steak and potatoes, something that would, if you were to make it on your own, take a lot of time and effort to make, and you're putting it into a convenient prepackaged thing. This is peanut butter and jelly, something in and of itself which was already convenient and easy to make.
Does it take time and effort?
Bottom line, bachelor food. How much more convenience do you need? Why don't you just get an IV drip of peanut butter and jelly and stick it in your goddamn arm and just have it drip into your veins all day long?
Listen.
It's easy. It's convenient. It's convenient. I don't have to do nothing. It's IV drip of peanut butter jelly in my arm.
All I'm saying is when I'm over your place and we both want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'll just take Jenny's out of the fridge, eat it, and you're making yours, and I'm done.
Boom. Yeah, Dave, that can take an hour to make your own.
Doesn't matter. By the time he takes the ingredients out, I'm done. I'm satisfied.
The blur record we just played, 2 minutes. Bet you Bean made a sandwich in that time.
You know, I did, as a matter of fact. I just ran down to the kitchen to make it.
With the commercials and everything, it was 5 minutes.
Listen,
Kevin.
Mike is right when he says the steak and the other, you know, if it takes you a long time to prepare, it does make sense for convenience sake. But
right.
But I'm saying for convenience sake, you don't need a peanut butter jelly sandwich handmade is not all that inconvenient, people.
Okay.
How lazy are you?
It's not about it's about convenience. It's about saving
time. How lazy are you?
How late are you every morning? If you wanted a freaking peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you wanted to get to work on time, if you really were hungry, are you going to stop and make a 2 minute, half a minute sandwich, whatever
yes.
it is?
Yes.
Are you going to start
and
be late?
Yes.
Or would you rather just grab one of these and be on time?
And have an inferior sandwich?
No,
I'd rather a sandwich. I'd make my own.
Are you going to get pre-chewed gum too?
Hey guys. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Pre-chewed gum.
Sorry,
we're out of time.
Oh,
we need to have
taste test. We didn't do our taste test.
We didn't do a taste test. We'll do that during the commercials. But let me just say this. Jessica, Uncrustables, they are cheaper than buying all the rest, which we already figured out is not true.
No.
Andrea says, neither. I make peanut butter and jelly burritos.
Oh, those are so good, too, though,
That is strong.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Matt in Norwalk says, handmade, but he sells Uncrustable and can never keep them on the shelves because they sell so much. Let's see. Myra says, handmade, how hard is it to cut off your own crust? Mike says, Border Patrol agents feed illegal aliens Uncrustables.
See, they have the world. Is that about for or that, against?
I don't know.
They have that must the be world. Where Dave got the taste for it, though.
All right, let's change topics here and talk about somebody else. We have a story that might be surprising about somebody that you might know.
Dick Cheney.
Is that the music he comes on to when he gives his speeches around the country? Because that surprises me. Doesn't seem like the kind of stuff a guy from Wyoming would be listening to.
There's a little girl named Grace Mosier who lives with her mom and dad in Topeka, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 6 years old. And the New York Times wrote a big story about her, about how she is obsessed with Dick Cheney, our vice president. Six-year-old.
That seems odd.
What does that tell you about her parents, first of all?
Yeah. What six-year-old? Yeah, no kidding. But what six-year-old even knows who Dick Cheney is and would even care if he came on her television set?
I don't know. According to the article, he's her hero. And that's the most bizarre thing. So then the New York Times also printed a poll that they had taken of the approval rating of our vice president. And nationally, his approval rating is less than 20%.
Well, I'm not surprised. There's no one in government doing well right now. Congress is at 16% right now, so I'm not surprised to see the vice president down that low.
So under 20%. But in the mid-states, in the middle of the country, you know, Wyoming and Kansas, places like that, according to the New York Times, Dick Cheney is treated like a returning war hero. I mean, he is...
Really?
God reincarnated.
The second coming.
Yes. They just go crazy for him.
Hey, I have a lot of respect for the man. He shot a dude in the face and walked.
That's true.
Think I could have gotten away with that? You think I could have said, oh, sorry, accident. But Dick Cheney, he definitely has some sort of quality, some sort of charisma that gets him going places.
That is true. I mean, how often does a sitting politician shoot another guy in the face?
And just
walk away from it and go, how about that?
But here's what's interesting, though, because, you know, when I first heard about this story, I thought, why is Dick Cheney out on the road, you know, going to places like Kansas that are so overwhelmingly Republican? I mean, you really don't need to go. And I guess the reason is that you have so much support there that you can raise tons of money that the party can then use around the country for other reasons.
That's what he does.
They are tight.
So he travels to Casper, Wyoming. He travels to Michigan. He travels to Topeka. And none of the national media covers it, but all of the local media covers it. And he supposedly gets a hero's welcome. So we were trying to figure out just exactly what it is he's got. What is he offering those people that they seem to be so in love with? And we found a speech that he gave in Topeka, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd listen to it and just see if there are any clues as to why he's being treated as a hero in the middle of the country. Here's his speech from Topeka.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that warm welcome is almost enough to make me want to run for office again. Almost. You know, President Bush and I, our approval ratings in the liberal media may not be as high as they once were, but we still feel like we're doing a lot of good work. A lot of you are still enjoying the fruits of some pretty terrific tax cuts, and a lot of you are feeling safer today against terrorists who are still desperately trying to cause mass death here in the United States. And I'm pretty sure we'd all be a lot worse off if these Dean Democrats take over Congress. Don't hold back. So how are you feeling, Kansas? Wow. I can't hear you. Kansas, are you feeling all right? All right, then. Let's rock and roll. Hit it, Steve.
What?
You show us everything you've got.
He sings?
You keep on dancing and the room gets hot. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy.
I have no idea.
You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. I can't hear you, Kansas. I wanna rock and roll all night and party every day. I wanna rock and roll all night. Republican party every day. I wanna rock and roll all night and party every day. Come on!
So there you go. That's a little taste.
I had no
idea.
That's very
impressive. I may vote for him.
It's time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
It's 7:49 on the world famous K-Rock, and the party don't stop just because Kevin and Bean ain't here.
Nope.
Party don't stop till the panties drop, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Yo. So your old radio pal Ralph is in all week long giving you the best in entertainment news with the showbiz beat. Joining me in the studio is Psycho Mike. And
word.
Besides the showbiz beat, in the next hour, very special showbiz beat. I don't get a chance to do this very often, but sometimes when Kevin and Bean are on vacation, there's still some people we'd like to talk to in the world of entertainment because they've got interesting projects coming up. And in an hour, I'll be having a conversation with the lovely and talented Allie Larder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
You know, of course, from Heroes, which returns to us this fall, but also she is co-starring with Mila Jovovich in the third and final installment of the Final Destination series of movies that opens up this Friday.
That's a lot of beaver on one screen.
So maybe you don't talk so much when I'm talking to Allie Larder with phrases like that, Mr.
I'm just
Mr.
saying,
Potty Mouth.
I'm just saying, that's a hot combo.
Yeah, they're two diabolical-looking women, and a lot of action, a lot of adventure in this movie. I like the other two an awful lot, so I'm looking forward to this third one.
Yeah.
And Allie Larder looks so good at the Emmys on Sunday.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful girl. So we'll be talking to her in about an hour. Come on back then. Speaking of the Showbiz Beat, tomorrow, all day long, I will be giving away special K-Rock tickets to a Talk Like a Pirate Day party. You know, tomorrow is September the 19th. It is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Well, the good people at Walt Disney have taken over the El Capitan movie theater down in Hollywood. And they have arranged a special screening of, speaking of trilogies, the last in their Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, at World's End. If you didn't get a chance to see it on the big screen, this may be your final chance before it comes out on video in December. So we'll be celebrating down there. We're going to have actual pirates. We'll be teaching people how to talk like a pirate. We'll be watching the movie. That's all tomorrow night. And tomorrow, all day long, I'll be giving away tickets to that event. You can't buy the tickets. You can only get them on the Showbiz Beat.
Sounds like a cool event.
Yeah, should be a good time. Britney Spears is a mess on so many levels, and things just got darker for the former pop queen.
This is a mess.
Her manager, Jeff Quatennens, still can't get that name out. Quatennens, there we go, has quit on her. He issued a statement today saying, "It saddens us to confirm media reports that we have terminated our relationship with Britney Spears. We believe Britney is enormously talented and has made a terrific record. But current circumstances have prevented us from properly doing our job." Bitch won't listen, yo.
Right.
That's what he meant to say. Apparently, things came to a head at the VMAs when Britney decided to switch the costume she was originally supposed to wear for her opening number with that god-awful glittery bikini she ended up wearing, and she didn't tell anyone, didn't consult her management. They would have said after the VMAs they wanted to meet with her. She refused the meeting, so really, their hands are tied. They got no choice. They got to cut this broad loose.
Let that girl go!
Who could blame them? Meanwhile, yesterday, the continuing battle for custody went on between Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. Kevin wants primary custody of the kids instead of the equal custody agreement they're currently working under. And his attorney, Gloria Allred, surprise, surprise, she's involved in a high-profile case, was on the courtroom steps yesterday saying that Britney's former bodyguard, Tony Barreto, who was her bodyguard from the time she left rehab until this past May, was going to show up and was ready to testify. He said, she said, rather, that he was ready to talk about Britney's bad parenting skills, including nudity at home and drug use around her kids.
That isn't good for you.
No, it is not, boys and girls. Don't use drugs around the kids. Don't use drugs, period.
Yeah. Say nope to dope.
Say ugh to drugs. Vanessa Williams speaking out on Vanessa Hudgens.
Mm.
You may wonder what the connection is, but Vanessa Williams currently can be seen on Ugly Betty. She was once embroiled in a nude photograph debacle of her own back in 1984. Vanessa Williams was Miss America. However, she had to give up her crown when nude photos of her cavorting with another nude young lady showed up in the pages of Penthouse magazine. Well, it goes to figure that they would start asking her about Vanessa Hudgens' recent problems with the nude picture showing up on the internet. Vanessa Williams said that she has talent and professionalism. These are things that will help her overcome this. I don't think she's going to take the hit to her career nearly as much as Vanessa Williams did. For the record, Disney has vowed to stand by her. She hasn't lost any endorsement deals due to the controversy. And insiders are saying this little stunt could actually make her a mint. She could actually do better than she was doing before, thanks to that nude picture showing up on the
good
internet.
Good move. The Vanessa Hudgens pictures, far from a lesbo romp in Penthouse.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the same sort of explicit sexual material.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost innocent in its spectacular nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan's going to join Opus Dei. This is the latest goofy rumor to show up about Lindsay in the British tabloids. They say her rehab is progressing so well, she's found God, found Jesus. Hallelujah. And she's going to join Opus Dei. If that name sounds familiar to you, that is the insanely strict Catholic organization that was demonized in Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, as well as in the movie. You know, that monk.
Silas.
The albino
was
monk.
That,
yeah,
was that his name?
I think it was Silas, yeah. The bunny eyes. Go around just putting barbed wire into himself and just whipping himself in the back.
Yeah.
They like to show their dedication to God by just punishing themselves. So Lindsay's going to join Opus Dei.
Good on you, Lohan.
Walk around, hitting herself in the back with a rope. Looking forward to that. And Barry Manilow takes his politics very seriously.
Of course.
So much so that he has canceled an appearance on The View today because he disagrees so strongly with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who, of course, is the conservative member of that all-female panel.
It's top-notch gay.
He told TMZ.com that he refuses to be on the same stage as her. She's offensive and she's dangerous. If you ever heard her speak, you realize she's not so dangerous.
No.
She's pretty safe, actually. She's sort of a lightweight. And lastly, Lauren Graham, star of the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I love her.
Has signed a rather large seven-figure development deal with NBC. Of course, Gilmore Girls no longer on the air, but Daily Variety says the network has agreed to develop either a comedy or a drama series around her due to her popularity from that show. So she will be working for some time to come.
I wish she was on Jericho.
Oh, that'd be great. If she
that'd
could,
be my dream come true.
I'd say nuts. And then I'd look at her, and then Veronica Mars could be on there, and everything would be great.
Nuts.
Dave's very happy because Veronica Mars is going to be on Heroes this season. So.
It's a good combo.
Kristen Bell and Hayden Panettiere apparently becoming best buds. So Dave and I can double date. It works out.
Yeah, be nice.
Today's celebrity birthday is Exhibit, rapper and host of Pimp My Ride. He's 33 years old today. James Marsden. Of course, played Cyclops in the X-Men, was also in the Superman Returns movie. He is 34 years old today. Jada Pinkett Smith turns 36. James Gandolfini.
Yeah.
Tony
yeah.
Soprano. You think a guy like James Gandolfini will ever reach the heights in his career again as where he was when he played Tony Soprano? You think he'll go on to become a big movie star or have another TV series with as much impact as the Sopranos had?
No, it'd be hard to. I mean, that's going to go down in the pantheon as one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah, and hard-pressed to repeat that kind of stuff.
Right, and he's not a guy who has kind of a generic look. I mean, he is a Jersey Cugine to begin with in real life.
Yeah.
And he's so big and kind of intimidating. It's hard for him to deviate from that type of role, you know?
I'd like to see him do more comedy. I think he could be funny.
He can be, I think.
Yeah.
But he does play like a big, menacing scumbag pretty well. If you've seen 8mm or...
Yeah.
True Romance. That
yep.
was one of his first eight. I mean, he's just good at being a bad guy.
Night Falls in Manhattan was another one he did a good job in. Did you see that Christmas comedy he did with Ben Affleck?
No.
Home for the Holidays,
no,
whatever
didn't.
It was called?
No.
Horrible, horrible film. But I caught a taste of it on the cable, and he's actually pretty funny. Yeah. So.
And what's the movie? Is it The Mexican that he's in?
Oh, that's right. Mexican.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Funny
too.
In that, too. He's 46 years old today. Fred Willard from Anchorman and Gee, this is Spinal Tap. Just so many funny movies. He is 68 years old today. And Robert Blake, actor, guy with a gun in a Italian restaurant.
A soft-spoken guy.
Funny man. He was once a guest lecturer at an acting class I was in. He came in and taught the class, made a girl cry, called her the C-word. Right in front of me. I was working with her, and he called her that, and she cried. It was spectacular. One of my favorite moments ever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We took a call a few days ago on What to Do Nephew from a girl, and she was telling us a little story about how somebody had broken into her house.
I woke up yesterday to find a 24-year-old girl sleeping on my couch.
Do you know who it is?
I had no idea who this person was. She apparently wandered into my house drunk last night, like the night before.
Right.
I call the cops. I call the cops, and they tell me that I'm supposed to, like, since I live near clubs, it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, they told her, you live right next to a club. I mean, that's just going to happen.
What do you expect?
What do you expect?
Sure.
Now, here's my problem with that story. You don't call the cops.
No.
If there's a chick sleeping on your couch, and you're a girl, you say, don't sleep on the couch. There's
you don't have to sleep on that couch.
Right.
No, it's okay. No, it's not. No. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
Here's my question, and maybe I should direct this towards Psycho Mike, since I'm sure this has happened to him countless times back in his drinking days. But if you're really so effed up that you don't realize you're trying to get into somebody else's house, how do you get in? I mean, how do you get past the locked door or window or whatever it is to end up on somebody else's couch?
That's always – I mean, that type of stuff happens in a blackout state, always, 100% of the time. And you don't remember from like 7 p.m. on. And next thing you know, it's 7 a.m. the next morning. You're like, how am I in Long Beach in this guy's house?
I don't know why.
I didn't drive here. I don't remember being anywhere near, that's just the way it is.
And Mike ended up in cities that he didn't even know how he got to. It wasn't just the house.
That's the truth. One of the worst times was waking up in a guy's front lawn that I didn't know in Long Beach. The sprinklers woke me up. And the last thing I really remember was being in Hollywood with my friends.
Dude. Oh,
and I don't remember how I got in like the Long Beach area. I don't know how I got there. Luckily, all my my wallet, my keys, and everything were still in my pockets, and no one robbed me or anything.
But if your friends were funny, that's what I would have done. Just taken you to some random house in another city and dropped you off on the lawn.
Well, we could get into what's happened to me in Europe and stuff, but we don't. That's when you're
laying in a yard and you get woken up by the sprinklers in the morning. That's got to feel like a new low when it happens to you. It just has to.
That's one of those times when you swear you'll never drink again.
Yeah.
And then like at 5 p.m. that night, you're.
Yeah, of course. You got to take some more.
Oh,
all right.
God.
So we're going to take some calls here in a second at 1-800-520-1067. If you ended up breaking into somebody else's house, or somebody else ended up breaking into your house, and you didn't know it or they didn't know it, and somehow you wake up and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't my place. I'm sure that's happened a lot to listeners. It's happened to me with a car. Let's say good morning to Crikey. Good morning, Crikey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Crikey works here at K-Rock. He's a phone op for Jed. And this happened to you recently?
Yeah, it was Halloween.
Halloween, okay.
I went to a party in the 909.
Sure.
And I was dressed in German Lederhosen.
All right, because it's Halloween, okay.
Right, and wandered away from the party because, I wanted to use the bathroom and there was a line.
Sure.
And went out front, got lost, couldn't find my way back, ended up wandering through the streets, got a ride with a stranger.
Right.
Ended up back near kind of close to where the party was because I saw my car and I figured I would have parked in front of the house where the party was going. But
right.
I had actually parked about four doors down and went up to the front door. It was unlocked, walked in, couldn't find my way back out once I realized it was the wrong house.
Okay, so this was a house that was four houses down from where you were originally partying.
Exactly.
And your car was in front of it. So you walked inside. What do you mean you couldn't find your way back out?
I got to the living room and realized, hold on, this is the wrong place.
Right.
And in my drunken haze, just didn't know where the front door was.
So you couldn't get out, so you just laid down?
Well, no. First, I used their phone to try and call my friends.
Okay.
I used their phone in the kitchen because Lederhosen don't have pockets.
Okay.
So I had no ID. I didn't have my cell phone.
Right.
But that didn't work because nobody picked up when I called. So then I curled up on the couch and took a nap.
Was anyone home at the house that you broke into?
Well, about an hour later, I was woken up by a middle-aged woman who was just screaming at the top of her lungs.
Because you probably scared the hell out of her.
Well, yeah. I mean, I looked like a drunken Keebler elf curled up on the couch. But I, you know, I did my best to calm her down. I just looked her in the face and I said, "Ma'am, ma'am, please, you're making a fool of yourself." Just,
I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
She's making a fool of herself.
Well, the best part is, I said, "You really need to calm down and get out of my house."
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not Omar. It's not like usually, as soon as alcohol touches my lips, I make a fool of myself.
Right.
It was like, I'm usually a guy with a certain amount of class, but this night I just
this
went out
was
of control.
Exceptional. All right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yep.
And my favorite part of that story is that he was accusing her of being in his house. How
sure.
dare you, woman?
That's brilliant.
You get out of my house. How do you like that?
He should be all confused.
He may have thought he was in his house.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. You ended up breaking into somebody else's house and didn't realize it, or somebody else broke into your house when we get back.
So we got a great idea for a phone-in topic from a K-Rock listener a couple of days ago who told a story about going out into her living room and finding a woman passed out on her couch that she did not know. Who was this woman? How did this woman get in her house? What's the story there? We thought, you know what? That's happened to a lot of our K-Rock listeners.
Oh, yeah.
They've been on the receiving and the giving side of that story. So we wanted to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And naturally, the lines are packed.
Yeah. Let's start with Martin in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Martin.
Hi, guys.
What happened, dude?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
A couple years ago, my mom woke me up at like 5:30 in the morning, just frantic, totally scared out of her mind. She's like, "There's someone asleep on the couch. What do we do? Oh my gosh." And so I'm like, "Calm down, calm down." So I go downstairs and I look, and there's this dude just totally curled up on our couch, and he's this big fat guy, and his shirt is off and his shoes are off, and his shoes are placed nicely next to the couch, and his t-shirt is perfectly folded and right next to his shoe.
That's nice.
And he's just totally out. And so we're just kind of looking at him like, "What do we do? What do we do?" And so I kind of wake him up and I'm like, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he's like, like totally freaking out. He had no idea where he was. It was honestly the most confused I've ever seen a person in my entire life.
Sure.
He was just now, totally confused. And like, we tried to figure out, I didn't know of any party going on in the area. I didn't, you know, he didn't know anybody that was in my family. It was just totally random, just this guy with his shirt off. And so he kind of stands up and is like, I'm really sorry, and just puts on his t-shirt and shoes and leaves out the front door.
Oh my god.
Let me ask you this, Martin. Did you recognize him at all from his years on Knight Rider or Baywatch?
No, unfortunately not.
Not. All right. Thank you, Martin, for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, we're actually having some decent storytelling going on today.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Let's go to Tom in Riverside. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
You were breaking into people's houses?
Well, like, I was with my friends, and I'm not in a fraternity, but they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we all got kind of wasted a little bit too much one night. And so I freaking passed out in this guy's house, and I wake up, and it's this old guy, and he's all, "Oh, do you want anything to eat?"
Well, wait a minute.
Really?
Is this with someone you didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't know him. I just woke up in his house.
Okay, so, and then when you woke up, he asked you if you wanted something to eat.
Yeah, he's all, "You want some coffee, orange juice?" He's all, "I made you some toast." He's all, "I have Fruit Loops." And he's all, "The remote's right there if you want to watch some TV."
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
Seriously.
He thought it was his lucky day.
And then did he take you to the bedroom?
No, I hope not.
How about that? What a strange difference of reactions from the woman the last call. Freaking out, didn't know what to do. This guy's making him breakfast.
I know. I think he was lonely.
Wow, Tom.
He's you can watch what you want on TV. Just lock the door behind you. I'm going to head out to work.
What?
Oh, my God.
Left
you there?
Wow. I hope he took everything he had. I mean.
That is some real hospitality, man. You were somebody's boy toy. Congratulations.
You don't see that every day, do you? Hey, lock up before you go.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's talk to Sean on line 7. Sean is down in Chino, and this is how you want to wake up. Sean, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
So you woke up at somebody else's house.
Yeah, I was at a party at my buddy's house, and I got really plastered and walked out front and thought I walked back into the house. Well, what happened was I had walked into his neighbor's house.
Right.
And their grandmother lived there.
Right.
And I had walked in, kind of took my shoes off, noticed that nobody was really partying anymore, figured the party had gotten broken up. So I walked into what I thought was the room I was staying in and crawled into bed, and there was somebody in bed. So I figured, you know, it looked like some lady.
It's my lucky night.
You know, my lucky night. And I get in there, and I crawl into bed, and I kind of spoon up next to her. And all of a sudden, she flips out and she starts screaming. And I realize it's an old lady. It was my neighbor's grandmother.
Oh, my God. You spooned your neighbor's grandmother.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Because, like, when she saw me, like, I have a bunch of piercings in my face. I have full sleeves and, right. like, a big pat on my neck and stuff.
So grandma didn't appreciate that much?
Grandma did not appreciate that very much. So I freaked out, hopped up, ran out the house. Went back into my buddy's house, and they're like, "Where'd you go?" I'm like, "I don't want to talk about it." And I fell asleep on the couch. Well, the next morning, the police showed up at the house, and they're knocking on the door. My buddy Connor walks to the door, and he opens up the door, and the cop is like, "Do you have a friend with a lot of tattoos and piercings? And he was like, he's all, "Oh, well, yeah, I do. He's right here. His name's Sean." Like, I walk over to the door and kind of hang my head down, and I hadn't told anybody, so the cop was like, did you go next door last night? And
you should have said yes, and she was magic.
Exactly.
I wrecked her.
Best loving I ever had.
Thank you for the call. Oh, my God. He crawled into a woman's bed, an old woman's bed.
Poor lady.
Yeah, imagine. That's a story she'll take to her grave. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Let's talk to Henry in, let's see, where's Henry? San Pedro.
Pedro.
Henry, you went on the booty cruise with us, huh?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I paid a security guard $40 so he could let me into the VIP with you guys. So I actually snuck into the VIP at Mai Tai.
Oh, you mean at the after party. Okay.
Yeah, the after party, dude. I actually got to hang out with you guys and everything. And
okay.
The last thing I remember, I was with Omar. We were drinking some of that kind of champagne. I forgot what kind it was. And
it was Dom, by the way, ordered by a douchebag friend of mine who's super rich. And he bought like four bottles of Dom, poured one of them all down my back. So you were drinking that.
Yeah, so I was sitting with Omar and, like, these other kind of hot chicks, and I remember trying to hit on one of them. She wasn't giving me no games. So I said, "I'm out of here." And that's all I remember. My friend said the security guard carried me, and then they met some chicks from Downey. So anyway, we get down to Downey, and I just remember, what the heck? Well, I'm from the South Bay. What are we doing out here, like, in Downey, you know? Well, this is when after everybody woke me up, but I have a chick waking me up, and she's like, "Get up." And I'm like, "What the heck?" And I open my eyes, she goes, "You're urinating all over my couch."
Oh,
I don't know where I was at. Dude, I'm like, "What the heck's going on?" So, I mean, not only that, but my friends were upset. You're like, "You ruined our game, and these chicks are never going to call us back." And, you know, well,
wow.
I guess because of me, they never did call back.
Dude, that's what happens when you start partying with Omar.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I will never keep up with them. I
mean, you got to be a professional to keep pace with Omar, man. A mere amateur cannot attempt to drink with O.
Well, I am a small guy, too. I'm 5'4", you know, so
yeah.
Trying to keep up with the guy like that, man.
It's not possible.
Wasn't a smart thing.
Can't do it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
These are great stories right here, I'm telling you. These are our people.
All right. How about Stranger's Car? How about that one? Let's go to Aaron in Alta Loma. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, yeah, we went out to a party, and we were snaking beers because I wasn't old enough to drink. We were only in eighth grade.
Right.
And so by the end of the night, I blacked out, and my friends, they took me back to my old house where I used to live.
Yeah.
And I guess they couldn't get me in the house, so they put me in the car. But I didn't live there anymore. And
Wait a minute. Did they not know it, or were they playing a joke on you?
I have no idea. And nobody would tell me what's up or anything the next day, and they were just laughing. That's all they said.
So you ended up in a car.
So I ended up in a car, and I get woken up to the guy knocking on the window. And he's knocking on the window, and I wake up. I'm, like, looking around, like, where am I? Don't know where I am. All I know is I'm in a car. So I get out of the car, and the guy's yelling at me. He's like, "What are you doing in my car?" I couldn't say anything. I just got up, and I just kept on walking. He's all, "Hey!" And I just kept going. I had no idea what to say. I mean, it took me 4 hours to get home walking.
Oh.
So
it is hard to explain how you wake up in somebody's car if you have no memory of it at all. I mean, what do you say? You got no answers, right?
4 hours to walk home. That's brutal. All right, one more. Let's talk to Fleur in Harbor City. Good morning, Fleur.
Hi. It was a New Year's party a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine broke into my next-door neighbor's house.
Thinking that it was your house?
I don't know. What? I asked him, like, I don't think he did.
Okay.
But anyway, there were, like, 10 cop cars out in front of the house. and like a helicopter above, like shining down, and we heard the cops going like, "Come out with your hands up!" And so we freaked out, thought it was because of us.
Mm-hmm.
But later on,
so you stepped out with your hands up, and you're like, "Oh, it's the neighbor's house." Okay.
Right, exactly. And so I slinked back in the house. I was like, "Okay, well, it's not us." And I guess like my friend had already gone by that point.
Right.
I talked to him later. Apparently, he was like crawling around on the floor, crying and hugging pillows and stuff.
So drinking is good then.
Right, exactly. He was like weeping. It was really weird. And the only reason we knew that was happening is because my next door neighbor happens to have a Korean live-in roommate who doesn't speak English very well.
Okay.
I'm like,
yeah, I lost the plot of this story.
Me too. So she called the cops because she was afraid that the guy was crawling around on the floor crying.
Right, exactly.
She did the right thing, I think. Here's what I love, though. I love that you assumed it was you when the cops started saying, "Come out with your hands up," because
sure,
you know you've done a certain amount of crap, so you know you're just going to get busted for something at that point.
It just exactly. So I was like, oh, God, because I didn't know. I thought, like, somebody had tipped off the cops that there was, like, a bunch of underage kids drinking at my house.
Yeah, you start going through the Rolodex of problems that you've caused. All
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wasn't your turn that night. I'm sure they'll be back, though.
So Ralph, our entertainment reporter, told us on, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday last week, I can't remember, that there's a new show on the Oxygen Network, and it's called She-Larious. And it is for stand-up comedians that are female.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent Psycho Mike down to the auditions. They were Friday, right?
Good idea. Yeah, Friday after the show, about 11 o'clock.
There aren't a lot of, I mean, when you think about, you know, legendary stand-up comedians over the decades, there aren't a lot that are women.
No, I mean,
not as many. I don't know why it is that it's tougher for women to make it in that business. By the way, Joan Rivers, I know we hate her with the heat of a thousand suns, but she was a permanent fill-in for Johnny Carson. She was maybe the biggest female comedian ever.
Yeah,
you could be right about that. Maybe Roseanne, I guess.
Roseanne was huge. Obviously, there are still some today, like our friend Sarah Silverman, who's hilarious. I mean, she's great. She is a really, really funny woman.
She's an anomaly, though.
I mean, she's a really funny woman. But in general,
Ellen just hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, she can be funny. In general, though, it's a lot harder for women to do comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I looked at this audition for the Oxygen Network, you know, comedian show, as kind of like the Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't allowing all athletes, just the ones that had the handicap. You know?
Right. Tell us about your attitude going in, though.
So, look, stand-up comedy is very hard, and I'm not going to go in there just ready to make fun of anyone, okay? I consciously made that decision. I'm driving over. So I'm going to give these girls a chance. They're doing something that's very difficult. It takes a lot of courage to do this.
It does.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's what you're famous for when it comes to women, by the way.
I'm
preying on their already damaged self-esteem.
I know my gender relations in the past haven't been the best.
Really?
So I said, I'm gonna work on it. I'm going to go over there with my eyes open, okay? My eyes and my mind wide open.
So as they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Yeah. But you have an open mind. You want to find what they say funny.
I wanted to go down there and find the next Sarah Silverman.
Right. And we told you to find us a new traffic reporter, too. Remember,
we
said keep your eyes peeled.
That was off.
Shh.
I didn't say that out loud.
Did I?
Damn it.
Then I pull up and I see a girl dressed as a cow.
What?
Waiting in line.
Oh, no.
And I say, oh, no, here we go. The girl with the wacky, zany act. You know, she's dressed as a cow. My focus is right on her. I said, I'm going to go with her. I'm going to start off
cow girl.
And I say, listen to me. Don't give me your cow shtick. Just give me a chunk of your comedy so I can see what you're working with. And she will not deviate from her, I'm really a cow. This is not a costume, zany, wacky act.
Oh,
and
no.
Listen how this goes.
Costume? I kind of wear it every day. I'm a little
you dress in a cow's outfit every day.
You kind of hurt my feelings.
Can you give me some sample of your comedy?
But I don't. But then.
I want you to tell me a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cow. Did you see that? Because I have udders. And then I just rolled it right in there because I got milk.
Listen to me. I need you to stop with the cow stuff, with the cow shtick.
What are you trying to say?
Listen to me.
I'm all over it.
I'm asking you a serious question.
I just, you know, they were milking me all day.
Listen to me. If you don't quit with the fucking cow shtick, I'm going to punch you in your fucking head.
Oh, my.
I'll screw you with my udder.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She's committed to her character.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's committed.
Okay, so you went in with an open mind, and that's the first person you talked to.
Number one. Now, by the way, my temperature's starting to boil just a little.
This is also kind of like American Idol, where everybody that shows up or who wants to be a superhero, the whole group, the auditions, most of them, 99%, women, men, whatever, bad.
I'm sure there were some funny girls there. I'm just saying, I didn't find any. Okay. You know what I'm saying? There were so many there that I talked to that were bad.
But
so
is it
out of line at all to threaten to beat her in the head because you don't find her funny?
No. Because I edited that down. That was like 20 minutes of cow talk. So I'm not an official looking guy. I mean, I don't look like a journalist. You see me walking around somewhere with a microphone. I look like some bro from Cal State Fullerton doing like a senior project.
You do. You look like the opposite.
Yeah. Lightning gives me this mic flag that says K-Rock in massive bold letters you can see from like the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
So this one chick sees that and she runs up to me and says, I'm the female Armenian comedian.
Oh, fantastic. Did you get her phone number?
And she's like 70, and I wanted to, but
I'm in.
Listen, things don't go too well. Wait a minute.
She's the female Armenian comedian, and things don't go well?
Listen to me. I immediately start recording when she says, I'm the female Armenian comedian. This is how it goes.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm auditioning. I think so. I'm the oldest person. I can be mama to all these little girls. So many bad freaking shows. I'm 57 years old, and...
You don't look a day over 70.
My teeth falling out and they put them back in and I just don't care anymore. I don't care.
Do you believe that female comedy is reserved for ugly women?
Who is ugly? Your mama is ugly. Your family, everybody's ugly. No, I'm beautiful from inside out and I love show business, but I hate show business same time because you find a lot of like stuck up, bad attitude, kind of gorgeous and bimbo type, bad attitude.
You sound bitter that good-looking women get a lot of jobs and you're reserved auditioning for oxygen shows.
I don't think so because my son is 38 and my daughter Lou is beautiful. She's a pretty lady.
What does your son's wife have to do with your physical appearance?
I don't like assholes and don't start an asshole attitude with me because it doesn't work.
That's right.
Be nice to me or get away from my face.
I'm just interviewing you.
Yes, you start to get a little freshened. I don't like your attitude.
You know, a sour attitude's not going to get you anywhere, young lady.
You have a sour attitude. F*** off.
Oh. Thank you.
Nice.
Wow.
So I wanted to get her info.
She approached you.
Guys, did we not send the right guy?
Well, we talked about that. Remember on Friday morning off the air during the commercials and songs, we were like, maybe Mike's not the right guy.
It's not a love fest.
But having said that...
Listen to the comedy I had to deal with. You act like I'm out of line. I'm out of line for casting aspersions on their comedic abilities. So then I see this really hot chick, like normally she's dressed normally and she's really attractive.
Right.
And I'm confused. I'm like, what is a girl like you doing here?
Don't understand why a girl like you would resort to doing comedy, which is, that's man's work.
Well, you know, I think it's sort of my vein of gold. I look completely normal, but at any given moment, I can be completely strange.
You can be strange?
Let me get a little
sample of that.
Of me being strange? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I can just... it was that strange.
What? I'm not an expert in comedy, but I don't think that would go over well. Say it like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
You know, it most likely wouldn't, but you guys should get your hopes up about my performance.
Can't type, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. Can't type, Andrew, answer phones?
No, I'm not going to be a secretary. I can't answer phones.
And your uterus doesn't work, does it?
How'd you know?
Because that's the only reason you'd end up here. Aww. That is going to be a sad little show.
Mike's so much funnier than that girl.
Yeah.
Hey, she made that noise.
What the hell's going on?
You know, I don't know.
It is kind of weird. It would be like somebody showing up for the American Idol auditions and then being offended when you ask them to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to do comedy. Right. And you can't get one person to say something funny.
And they have to do like I asked the auditioning people, the evaluators, what they do. They have to do a stand-up chunk.
Guys,
so they have something prepared they could...
This is just like American Idol. They're awful comedians.
Yeah. Right, okay.
99% of them.
After all this, and there's way more girls I talked to than I brought tape. Finally, I talked to a girl who delivers some comedy.
Really?
Who tries her best, okay? Now you can see why I might have a sour attitude when this is the jokes I'm getting.
What are you doing here today?
I am trying to be funny, funny, funny.
Let me hear you try.
Okay, give me something that you would find in your refrigerator.
Tuna.
Tuna. 185 fish walk into a bar. Bartender says, I'm sorry, we do not serve your kind here. And 185 fish say, tuna fish. I do it better in the show. That one sucked. Okay.
Whoa.
What?
Time out.
What?
That was it? That was your comedy?
No. Give me one second.
They'll throw you in an oven in India for that show.
Oh, stop it.
That was horrible.
I'm an improviser.
I can see those improv classes are paying off.
Okay, let me try it again.
All right.
So the 185 fish say, tune out and tune in.
Holy shit.
Yeah, really.
All right,
really bad.
I got a joke
it's
for you.
Much better.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Looking for the tuna.
He was hoping to wander into traffic and get hit by a car because he heard you telling comedy.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm the a-hole?
I wow.
Really?
Well, you really are an a-hole, hole. Yes. But they were bad as well.
That is going to be a tremendous show on the Oxygen
God.
It's going to beat American Idol, I'm
the golden age of television is here.
First, though, I was on vacation last week, and I missed the story out of El Salvador. What do you know about these prisoners? What was going on down there, Ralph?
Well, apparently, in a maximum security prison, authorities found four prisoners that were smuggling cell phones inside the prison. Now, how they were smuggling them sounded painful at best.
I'm just trying to think. They just don't let you carry something into prison. I mean, you pretty much have to hide it, right?
No. I mean, and there's been a long history of people smuggling stuff into prisons for years. I mean, drugs and weapons and that kind of stuff. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time they took x-rays of the inmates and found out that they had smuggled cell phones wrapped in plastic bags into their bodies, up their butts.
No.
Cell phones.
Authorities found 9 cell phone chips, as well as the cell phones stuffed up the butts of these four guys, and 1 cell phone charger.
Well, you got to have a charger.
Because really, once it gets, you know, the battery goes down, they're no good.
Oh, my God.
Do prisoners in El Salvador have electricity in their cells? Do they have a place to plug in their phone to recharge it?
I don't know if they have electricity up their butts. It was plugged in up his ass. That's where he was charging the phone, actually.
Wow, 9 cell phones. I'd give up one of those cell phones and bring an iPod or something. I'd mix it up a little bit. But
4 cell phones, 9 cell phone chips, and 1 cell phone charger were found.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Inside the 4 cellmates.
And they were using those cell phones to continue to run their crime operations outside the prison, right?
That's what they planned. Apparently, they were extorting business owners. They were a very organized gang, and this way they could call from inside the prison and still carry on their illegal activities.
That's funny. Well, we wanted to find out more about this because, let's face it, most of us on this show pretty clueless when it comes to prison. But we do have a K-Rock listener named Rudy, who you know from his Raider updates. And let's dial him up right now, because if anybody knows about this, like, is this happening in America, too? What do you guys think? I don't know.
Rudy's done some time. Maybe he knows. He's the guy to ask. Call him and see what he's up to. Probably still getting over the Raiders loss.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah.
Hello. Hello,
Rudy.
Hey,
Rudy.
What's up, guys?
Rudy. You're right.
Yeah. What's happening? You guys call me. Want to talk about jail?
This connection is bad.
Yeah. What's going on with the phone? Where did we reach you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm in prison. I'm in Twin Towers downtown LA.
You're inside now. You're in jail now, as we call.
Yeah, man. I got a little trouble over the weekend. You know, like, I was playing like a Raiders pickup game. You know.
Yeah.
And like, we were all arguing. I was arguing with Ghost Dog, that homeboy from La Cienega. He goes, hey, I want to be Randy Moss. And I'm like, nah, dog, I'm Randy Moss. And he's like, nah, bitch, I'm Randy Moss. And we were down at MacArthur Park, so, you know, I had to handle my business. I shank him a couple times, you know. There's
okay, hold on, Rudy, Rudy, hold on a second.
The hobos, they handcuff
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I right. can't listen. This phone
we
is
can't,
this
we,
connection.
Is there anything you can do with the phone?
Are you on a phone there in the jail?
Listen, I think I can clear up the connection real quick. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Much better.
God.
Was that cell phone in your ass?
Oh, hell yeah.
Rudy.
They don't allow you have no cell phones in prison, but I thought you got to do what you got to do, eh?
Oh, no wonder it was that odd, muffled echo sound.
Oh, man, I should have used a smaller cell phone. I used a rotary phone. I don't know. You probably use like a...
Oh, one of those rotary cell phones?
Yeah, you got like a Razor or one of them new chocolate dogs.
Yeah.
It'd be fitting if it was a chocolate phone, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, it would be fitting, yes.
But man, yeah, it was an old Pac Bell, man. Damn.
Rudy, are you? Well, that sounds very
man.
Painful.
Oh, yeah, what's up, eh? All right, so what
are you? Are you holding that phone with your hand right now? You pull it right from your ass, then right to your face?
Yeah, no problems, eh? It kind of smells like my cellmate's pee-pee.
Oh, stop it.
You know what I'm saying?
So, listen.
You got to prepare for the situation, you know what I'm saying?
So,
you're swapping the poop deck.
So apparently there is cell phone smuggling going on even in prisons here in the United States.
Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying, dog? Like, you still got to handle your business once you're in prison, you know what I'm saying? Just because you get locked up doesn't mean you can't handle your business on the streets, you know what I'm saying? Like, little Trigger, my cousin,
right.
You know, he's got his weed business down in El Monte, you know what I'm saying, off Peck Road, you know, so he needs me. I got connections now inside, so, like, sometimes he needs me to... darn.
What is that?
What's that?
Whose phone is that, Rudy?
It's my phone. It's probably Stagrel. Hold on real quick.
He's got another phone in his ass?
What's up? Yeah. Nah. Listen, I'm on the phone with Kevin and Bean, bitch. I can't talk right now, right? All right. I talked to my lawyer earlier. All right. Listen, I got to go. I'm on the radio, all right? Whatever. Hey, what's up, guys?
So that's... Rudy. You pulled a phone out of your ass to talk to us, and then another phone rang in your ass, too?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I limit myself to one line? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Room?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
discomfort?
The DEA, they'd be phone tapping me or whatever. I got a couple of lines. You know what I'm saying? They can't handle me.
Well, now, what's that
one?
Rudy.
That's probably... Oh, man.
Another phone?
Yeah, it's probably Victor. Oh!
Oh,
that one's got to hurt.
Hello? Oh,
that sounded like a payphone.
That'd be way up there.
It was a Blackberry. Hey,
really. Oh, wow.
Now it's a Brownberry.
It's 8:54 here on the world famous K-Rock. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. Ordinarily, this time of the day, we do our showbiz beat BS, where we talk about the entertainment news. But we had an opportunity to speak to one of our favorite actresses here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know her, of course, as Nikki Sanders, our favorite psychopath split personality from the TV show Heroes. And this Friday, she opens up in the third Resident Evil movie. They're saying the final of the trilogy's Resident Evil Extinction. She plays Claire Redfield in that film. Please welcome Allie Larder. Good morning, Allie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good.
Looking forward to the movie coming out on Friday. I'm a big fan of these films.
It's actually really good. You know, when I read the script, I thought that Paul Anderson had a really fresh take on the genre. You know, he references Mad Max and Birds, and you know, we actually shot down in the dunes of Mexico. And I'm going to tell you something: this movie is visually stunning. Like, it's so beautiful to look at, and it's got some insane visual and special effects.
Just from the trailers and the commercials, I can tell that there's a lot of special effects and CGIs. But it looks like you guys really were putting up with the grueling Mexican desert out there when you were shooting. This had to be a rough shoot for you.
It was about 128 degrees. Oh. I mean, it was like heat that I've never felt in my life.
That's like Woodland Hills.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's a post-apocalyptic world. We're sweating. You want to be. You don't want to be on a soundstage shooting this where it's like they're putting, you know, glycerin on your head to make it look like you're sweating.
Right.
I mean, we got in there. We did the real deal. And I think it really bases this kind of movie that it keeps it in reality, you know?
Now, your character, Claire, you're one of several survivors, right, who have not been taken over by the T-virus up to this point.
Apocalyptic world, and it's just really, you know, you do whatever you have to do to survive. The only thing that matters is food, water, gas, and you have to keep moving.
We've got a clip here to play. This is where you guys, I guess, are getting the convoy together. You're trying to make your way to Alaska, and you're figuring out where you can get some gasoline.
All right, if we're going to make this trip, we're going to need to resupply.
Yep.
These are our options. The nearest safest bet is right there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's empty. I tried that.
We could try this.
Vegas. It's the only place we're sure to find gasoline and supplies.
Well, there's a reason for that. Vegas is too damn dangerous.
We've drained every small town dry over the last 6 months. We have to hit a big city. She's right.
And when you get to Vegas, it's all gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sad. It's my favorite city.
Because, I mean, our production designer really created, like, Vegas under the sand. So I go to work in the morning, and you're on set with, like, the Eiffel Tower leaning over and these huge Hummers, and then you look over and you see zombies, you know, reading magazines. It was totally surreal.
You run against zombies, killer crows. You've got all kinds of creatures you go up against. Is this the most action-packed movie you've ever been a part of? It looks like there's a lot of stunts and that kind of stuff for you.
Yeah, there's a lot lot of stunts, and I mean, Mila Jovovich, it gets no better. I mean, she's like trained in martial arts. When you see her doing these spins and flips, and you know, it's incredible. And at the end of the day, it's hot girls kicking butt in the desert, and it kind of doesn't get better than that.
Well, I know, that's what I think. This proves that there's a God, because even at the end of civilization, he still lets a few smoking hot chicks survive so that the human population will still go on and procreate, which I think is nice. Al, before I let you go, I got to ask you, you're already into shooting the next season of Heroes, right?
Yeah, we're in the thick of it. We're starting to shoot episode 8 next week.
Wow, it's very exciting. We're looking forward to that coming back, too. Some surprises in store for us, for fans of Nikki Sanders?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's great about the show is that there's so many characters on it, and my character's going to get to work with some of the people that you didn't see me with last year, and, you know, that's exciting for me. So I hope that everyone checks it out. We're back on Monday, September 24th is the new season, so everyone has to watch that and check out Resident Evil Friday, please.
This Friday, Resident Evil Extinction opens up. Is this really the last one? They're saying it's a trilogy. Is this the final one, as far as you know?
It is. It's the last one, and they're going out with a bang. I mean, it is like there's like this new surge of energy to end this trilogy, and you know, I've seen it, and if you like this kind of movie, this is the cream of the crop.
I can't wait. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, Allie.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Can't wait for this movie. Of all the video game movies, Resident Evil, by far, the most successful.
Yeah, this one holds up.
And just the best done. And Mila Jovovich, as Ali mentioned, is just spectacular in these films. From The Fifth Element on, I've always seen her just be an amazing action actress, which is hard for a lot of female actors to do.
Every time we talk to her about these movies, I mean, she's pretty devoted off-screen to getting prepared for these action films.
And if you're a fan of hers like I am, I'll be talking with Mila on Friday. We'll be doing a special Showbiz B while doing a little interview with Mila Jovovich. We'll be talking about Resident Evil Extinction, which comes out on Friday.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
A Moment with Kevin.
Well, people, sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for?
Well, that's
roads.
What I meant. What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do? Why didn't you ask, what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily to you.
What kind of city is it? You could have asked.
I don't know
the answer to that question.
Well, you're the answer to that. I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked.
What does your city do?
What does your city do?
Well, he understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin.
Great.
to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
We don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, hey,
all
it's
right.
Just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about that what he's contributed to the industry.
The brilliance.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, oh, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That, sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years.
Well, what did your city do? That was yesterday. But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And, you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit a stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, Chick.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like word jumble.
It's a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know why.
See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
How about...
We don't need to keep going with
this.
Well,
I'm just saying, it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past few years.
What about, Mike, see if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something
yes.
like that. And Kevin was had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple of years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple of years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much chance.
But I've got a big head.
That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with
is... don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't, because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough, tough questions.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's just in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red. Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about when we take Kevin out on the road?
Here's the thing, Kevin's in front of people. Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, your home field advantage. You can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds making. Eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a.
Damn it! Got to stop drinking.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA USC thing,
and
there we go. Okay, they were serving me skillets, which is skillet with
a frying pan full of liquor.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment.
Oh, my Lord.
That was a full-blown stroke.
It was.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man. I don't have it today.
All right. It's 6:44.
Hold on.
We're going to take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake or whatever, that kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way with those ones.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
We're
watched. Dude, go, really?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
Now, I have a request. Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Crystallized that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You got to wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel of the wherever the tower to get the
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right,
had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other, and that's how
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more because we're gonna be at the Honda Center tomorrow night for the night at the Ducks. Right, it's Kevin to be Ducks. Night with the Anaheim Ducks. You're giving away some tickets later on. Is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I am retarded.
Hey, everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or good.
Last hour we were talking about this this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of wheat thins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is
Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
No. The Ace of Cakes, Dean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right, well, let's hear his commercial. What's
listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? Then, oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Doug. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay.
Duff. So, really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language. But we do have it right.
Hey, man, I'm the bad boy cake, man. I'm the ace of cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
Oh, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I see
That's
where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good?
That's it. Man, you don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
I'm insane, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I'll preheat an oven. It's supposed to be 350. I'll go 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then, crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch! I can do what I want. I'm the ace of cake.
All right, listen.
I'm tired and it must be dealt with.
Listen, Duff. Here's the thing. Cake, it seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man.
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now, I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
If I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray?
Listen,
oh, geez.
Listen,
that's
Duff,
not what we're talking about at all.
Duff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven, you know?
Oh, okay. Duff. Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. I'm the next ingredient, man. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds...
Sometimes I make a bundt cake.
Yeah?
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:30, and I am here in Las Vegas with Serge Tankian. Hey, Serge.
Hey, brother.
How you doing,
you?
Man?
Good, good. A little tired, but great.
How late were you up last night after your big party in the suite with Foo Fighters?
I was up till 3:30. Well, maybe 4. I couldn't sleep for some reason. I think it's all this oxygen in the casinos, you know.
They pump it in to keep you awake and gambling.
I was just like trying to sleep, and I was exhausted. I was like in bed going, why am I not asleep?
And you were thinking, wow, do I not want to get up and go into the Kevin and Bean Show?
No, I wanted to. Early,
my God, early, I can't. I don't want that alarm to go off.
we were taking some calls from our listeners a few minutes ago talking about maybe the worst award show we've ever seen last night, the MTV Video Music Awards.
And there were exactly two rooms in that hotel worth being in. One was, you know, Pam Anderson's shower. And then there was the room that you were in with Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age and Mastodon and Lemmy from Motorhead. And I saw Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters on the pre-show saying it was just going to be an old-fashioned keg party up there. And that's exactly what it looked like it turned into.
Yeah, definitely. No, we had a lot of fun. The suite, the Foo Fighters suite, was great. You know, we were all, yeah. No, we didn't even know what was happening elsewhere. Like you said, the monitors weren't showing a lot of the rest of the show,
so they would just come to your room whenever they wanted to.
Cameras were there; they were going on and off. We didn't know when. You know, we had the chill out suite with a huge screen, and the screen would show part of the other performances, but without sound.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
That's what I heard.
How did you end up?
We had some great performances.
Yeah. How did you end up doing Holiday in Cambodia with Foo Fighters? And that's not an accidental occurrence.
No. Dave called me. Dave Grohl called me like 3 weeks back, and he's like, "Hey, this MTV is doing this new thing, different suites instead of all being in one hall, and you know we're gonna get a bunch of friends together and do some covers and jam it out and have fun in the old-fashioned way."
So he's the one that made that suite happen.
Absolutely. Happen, yeah. So he called me and he's like, "Would you do a Dead Kennedys cover? You know, come and have some fun. Let's do this." And I'm like, "Dead Kennedys, Foo Fighters, okay."
I'm in. Well, that was definitely the suite to be in. And then other people were performing too. Josh was there.
Queens of the Stone Age. Yeah, they were great. They Eagles of Death Metal.
Yep.
Jesse and, you know, Mastodon and
I wish, you know, if they would have just shown that suite the whole night, I would have been happy. Nothing else, just that suite. It would have been perfect.
I heard about all the drama after, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all fake drama, you know? It's like Tommy Lee and Kid Rock got in a fight.
I heard about that,
and Britney was all Xanaxed out of her head. I mean, it was a bizarre show.
It was a sad night.
But you were the place to be. I mean, that was the
sweet. I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
So, Serge, we have so much to talk to you about since the last time you were in, and we are going to play Empty Walls here coming up in a minute here on K-Rock. But awesome. System of a Down, when people say, "Hey, what's going on with System?" We hear your solo stuff on K-Rock. Is your answer just hiatus, or what's going on with the band?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we've been a band for 11 years, put out 5 records. We're all friends. We're all doing our own thing right now. Artistically, personally, we're kind of exploring different worlds, and you know, I always tell people we're not a corporation. We're not Nabisco. We don't have to put out product as, you know, that type of brand every year or every 2 years. We're enjoying and doing our own things right now, and we're all friends. The door's open anytime we want to get together, make a record, or play a benefit show or whatever.
And you fully anticipate doing that at some point?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we're all still in contact. We're all encouraging each other's projects. So
very cool.
In the future, you know, it's there for us. But we haven't made any particular plans to do anything as of now.
Right.
Gotcha. So was it did you guys have a band meeting and say, okay, we're going to take X amount of time off, or did it just kind of develop organically into this time away?
I mean, a little bit of both. Obviously, you have a meeting and talk about it, but I think organically it just led to a point where we're like, hey, you know, let's. There's these things I want to do. There's these things Shava wants to do, and you know, it's hard to prioritize a lot of work in between the records that you put out, because they're so demanding. They take 2 years, you know, between writing, recording, touring, and promotion. So trying to fit in other projects, you know, you don't want to do just small side projects all the time. There are things that you want to spend time and prioritize.
Right, sure.
So the only way to do that was to, you know, give it some time so that you can do other things successfully.
Is it scarier for you, or is there a little bit less pressure that it's not a System of a Down album when you think about your solo record coming out October 23rd?
It's not really scarier, Bean. It's kind of just, you know, I'm doing my thing. I went into my studio and recorded all these songs that I had demos of from years back, mostly, and some I wrote last year. Everything was written on piano or acoustic guitar, and you know, just developed them and did a lot of the performances myself on a lot of the instruments.
You played the guitars and everything else, right?
I played the guitars, the bass, programmed the drums, did all the strings, all the vocals. I kind of just worked it up from scratch and then produced it as well.
What made you decide that these songs are better for a solo album instead of a System of a Down? Because it seems like they're compatible.
They might have worked. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of songs unreleased, and some are electronic, some are, you know, classical for film.
You're the Tupac of the rock world.
But alive.
You have hundreds of songs.
That scares me. I don't want to get killed.
No, I'm just saying, he put out albums for like 10 years after he died.
I better put my mom in charge now.
Yeah. All right, Sir Shaking is here. We're going to play something from the new solo CD, and we're going to talk more about it when we get back on the world famous K-Rock. Serge, why are you so angry?
I'm not angry.
Who hurt you, Serge?
Where does the anger come from, my friend?
Complete misconception.
You know what is bizarre about Serge Tankian, who's in the studios with us here, is that he is aggressive on stage, and your music is aggressive, but you're the kindest, most gentle person in person. It's not what you would expect. Are people shocked by that when they meet you?
Sometimes. I think, you know, I heard this from a friend, and I thought it was really interesting, and he said it's really funny how artists that create dark music are usually happy people, and artists that create happy music are usually miserable.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Like that hater Delilah guy, man, he couldn't be any happier, right?
No, he's got to be very upset with that one.
The album is called Elect the Dead, and anytime I see the word elect in a title, I figure it has to do something with has to be some sort of a statement on politics.
Right.
Where's it coming from? Am I close?
Well, I mean, it's open to interpretation. I like kind of leaving it that way so people can internalize it and make up their own meanings. Like, you know, what do you think of it? What does it mean to you, Kevin, for example?
Well, I've seen a lot of your interviews. I saw your interview that you did with yourself on KRock.com. What in God's name was that, first of all? And I've read your MySpace, and I got to tell you, I don't think I'm smart enough to understand it.
No, you're
right. I really don't. I read it, I go, well, there's a lot of big words there.
I'm
not sure what that means.
You seem to have some real definite thoughts about democracy and where we're at this point in history maybe being crucial.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the title Elected Dead is, even though it's open to interpretation, I've got a lot of great interpretations from friends and journalists and stuff. And one is that the leaders that we have today aren't as capable as some of the ones we've had in the past.
Like, how dare you suggest that the leaders today are not doing a good job?
You know, and another interpretation was that maybe the victims of the epitome of civilization should elect our next leaders so we can have a more just structure. I thought that was interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. You know, I've got a lot of ideas about what we call our democracy and stuff. I think, first and foremost, before the next elections, we should get rid of the electors, because these guys are
supposed to... That does seem bizarre.
It seems very bizarre.
No one understands it.
Do you know one?
No, I have no idea.
Who are these guys?
Like, and they don't have the Electoral College, right? Is that what you're talking about? It's kind of this, whatever the step is that's between one person, one vote, and how the actual president gets elected. Get rid of that level, is what you're saying.
Yeah, or at least there should be a law that says if the popular vote goes to one guy, then the electors... Forget about the electors kind of thing. You know, there should be some kind of, you know, balancing there.
It is weird that they don't have to vote the way people vote. They can vote however they want,
in
right?
In some states they do. In most states, I think they don't.
Wow, that seems weird. You're right. That's really bizarre.
Serge, you as a citizen and also as a representative of your band System of Down, you guys have been real active in terms of trying to get your fans involved. Do you see young people willing to make the effort to get involved in the system, or is it a lot of, hey, I just show up for the music and I'm kind of missing the message that you're trying to give me?
There's a little bit of both. You know, I think music is very intuitive and it touches people from a very guttural point. And it's later that we kind of intellectualize it and listen to the lyrics and think about them with our left brains. So I think most people get into music because they're moved by it on an intuitive sense.
Right.
Like first time I heard Rage, for example, I didn't realize what the lyrics were, you know, but I was moved by it and I knew that it was powerful. I knew that it was protest music. I knew that it moved me, you know, and then I made sense of the lyrics, you know. So I think it's got that reaction with most people, and some people stay with that. Others, I think, go beyond and kind of make sense out of it intellectually. And there are some people that actually... You know, it inspires them toward activism, which is great.
We find that the girls, on the whole, are much more intuitive when it comes to lyrics than guys.
Girls are more intuitive, period, I think.
Because I love, you know, Rage. I love all these bands. I couldn't tell you what most of the songs are about, probably.
It's hard to make out the lyrics. Like my own, my mom always says, I can't understand what you're saying.
Your own mom says that.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
She goes, oh, the solo album, I think I can understand the words a little more on the solo album. Good job, son.
It's got
to be weird, though. Most people's parents could never listen to a System of a Down or a Serge Tankian record. It must be very weird for Serge Tankian's mom to listen to them. It's got to be.
Dude, I get her to pick out the singles.
Really?
Well, you know, I believe in the intuitive responses, you know,
right.
And you don't have to be a 17-year-old listener, you know, to make a decision like that. I think if you like music and you listen to something, even if it's not typically the music you'd listen to, mm-hmm. if your ear gravitates toward a certain song for a certain reason, it says something.
Mm. There's some kind of connection there. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, she liked the funny ones. She likes the funny
ones. You have a lot of funny ones.
What are you going to do? You got to laugh at the end of the day.
We are speaking to Serge Tankian. Of course, the new solo album is called Elect the Dead. It's due to come out on October the 23rd. We also played a song called The Unthinking Majority, and that one seems like it's a little easier to figure out who your target is than Empty Walls.
Yeah, that's definitely more blatant, you know, and with a lot of things happening in Iraq and everything that's happened since 9/11. I mean, we've been taken for a ride.
Yeah. I'd like to get back to your video on K-Rock, where you interview yourself.
Yeah, that was funny.
Have you lost your mind?
I never claimed to have one.
Did you have an interviewer in mind when you were playing the interviewer?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, I've been in the industry for a while now, and so I've...
You've heard all the questions.
No. I've experienced a lot of different engineers, producer, and the aura of each personality and... you know, video VJs and
right.
people, you know. So people interviewing you as far as VJs and stuff are always very positive. So you could say, I'm dying, and they'll be like, great. Wait, did I say the right thing? You know, like, because they're just ready to say, great, wow, great,
no matter
wow,
what, right?
Yeah, you know. So it's kind of like that, you know.
So
there's all these funny things.
Serge interviews himself, and he also plays the producer and the engineer and
the artist.
And the artist. The
pizza, he's a regular pizza delivery, isn't he?
You're a hell of a pizza delivery guy. You have to see this if you haven't yet. It's at krock.com, and it's Serge interviewing Serge about Serge. It's really fascinating. Again, the new CD, October 23rd.
Yes.
Love to have you in. Thank you, Serge,
Thank
for coming.
Thanks
we totally
for,
appreciate it.
It's totally my pleasure,
We
Kevin
need to
B.
get out of Vegas, right?
Yeah, let's get out of here.